Like Halloween. What is what they what made what made what made what made what made
This was Ashland leaders early in the 20th century McGee family?
No.
So I already said a lot, but it's a very short thing. If we have time on the agenda, we can, but we have a very full agenda. So, and it, I don't think it's going to be awful if we don't get it down. So any other additions or conversations? Okay, what about the minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Is there a second?
A second.
And any discussion? Okay. Favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Okay. And then we ask about a public forum, which I don't think there's anybody here that isn't. You're the people who are visiting are here for a specific project, correct? So we can move on to the liaison reports, can't we, Derek?
Sure.
You're multitasking.
Sorry, I'm just trying to get the...
We're fine.
I guess I can jump in since Councilor Moran's
not here.
Yeah, he
isn't here.
So first thing I wanted to let you know is at the council meeting last night, the council voted to pass a resolution which would suspend the previous ordinance structure that established the commissions, because you know they've done this establishing advisory commissions under a new resolution. So until last night, we've been operating with the old ordinance in place and a new ordinance establishing this advisory commissions. So instead of getting rid of that old ordinance, since we have that all in place, they just suspended it. They want to see if the new resolution and the new commission format, committee format works well, and then they can come back and actually eliminate the old ordinance at a later date.
So it's a trial period?
It's giving a chance to to see how it works and not have to do all of the adoption process for a new ordinance if something hiccups. So that passed last night. I was going to let you know, in terms of the medallion project, I haven't gotten an update since last month, but Beverly inquired about it. As far as I know, because of staffing levels in public works, the installation of the medallions is delayed until at least the spring because of... losing several of the project managers and public works to the point where they just don't have anybody that can work on it. In terms of the community center, I think at the November 14th city council meeting, they did talk about potentially employing an engineering firm to develop designs for community center in Pioneer Hall. There aren't minutes online for that, and I did not have time to watch a video to see what happened. But I mean, there's a video and a council packet if you wanted to look and find out.
I can just give a brief report of this area.
If you know, sure.
So the architectural or the engineering firm presented five phases for the community center and two phases for the Pioneer Hall. The council decided that in talking about the different phases, it would be cheaper if we tried to do everything at once. People didn't want to extend the time period of doing phases. And so I think roughly the power mat was like $1.5 million to essentially revamp both buildings. And that means that they would take care of the trusses by adding trusses on the inside, wood trusses that would stand and match to the existing woodwork. And they would straighten up the wall. And then the next phase was adding a bunch of ADA access, so for bathrooms and ramps and that sort of thing. And then the other ones were strengthening the exterior walls and the roof for seismic, and eventually putting a foundation to get all those walls back down to the ground. And so basically the city council voted to have them come back in a couple of months and give a more accurate, they're at a 20% level right now of estimating, that they get within 10% now if they knew what direction, and hopefully the money will be saved by doing everything at one time. And
so, could you, I'm not sure I followed the 20%.
There are 20% estimating accuracy.
Oh, is that?
Because it's so early in the process. As you drill down and get more details drawn and plans, that sort of thing, it goes down to 10, 5. And,
oh, okay.
And then you put it out for a bid.
But the vote was to move forward. Mm-hmm. And so the return visit is expected
in February
or something. So we've moved past just looking at the roof, which was one of the concerns.
Right.
Okay. Any questions? I didn't let you finish your report, though.
Thanks, Dale.
I mean, and then just the last thing, I think you all remember 165, most of you remember 165 Water Street, which was the request for the mixed-use development over on the corner of Water and Van Ness mm-hmm. and Hellman. That was appealed to the city council back when it was originally denied by the Planning Commission, but the applicant had asked that it be postponed to give them some time to think about their options.
Right.
So we're coming up on the limit. There's a state-mandated timeline that they're allowed no more than a 245-day extension. So to make a long story short, that appeal will go forth to City Council on January 3rd. And it's an on-the-record appeal, so only parties who participated in the original action and then responded to the notice are able to participate, and they're limited to the issues raised by the appellant, and they can only speak to things that they raise in their written comments. So it will be a very limited hearing at the council in terms of who can participate and what can be discussed.
I'm assuming there's nobody from the Historic Commission then that has to be in.
No, the Historic Commission would not be involved.
It would be the Planning Commission?
No, it would be the City Council
and the
parties in terms of people that participated, not public officials. It would
be
neighbors who commented. I believe my recollection is there's only one neighbor who participated that also asked to participate in the appeal. So, I mean, it will probably be the appellants and one neighbor.
Oh, okay. Very good. Well, that's news. New to me too. So does the city attorney run
no
that? It's not it's all done through land use
it's all through the land use ordinance.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions about all of that? I don't know if you
I need to get up to speed on what that project is.
The project, the community center and the Pioneer Hall.
No, I'm aware of that one.
Oh, yes.
Water Street.
Well,
in the interest of time, we'll fade in.
Yeah, right. Okay, thank you very much, Derek. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll move along to the planning action review. And let's see. So, I'm going to be reading the action, which is action number, action PA T1-2022-00199. Subject property is 748 Siskiyou Boulevard. Applicant is Rogue Development for American Band College. Description is a request for a site design review and conditional use permit to change the use of an existing non-conforming site occupied by a church religious institution structure to an administrative office space and storage facility for the American Band College. The request includes removal of a mature, how do you pronounce that tree?
Catalpa.
Thank you. Catalpa tree in the park road to allow the installation of the new driveway approach. It's a multifamily residential and zoned R2. That's probably enough, isn't it? And now I go to, if anybody needs to report a conflict of interest or was anybody involved in the conversations before this meeting, basically? If not, we can proceed. Oh, then I need to ask. I think this is something I'm new in the chair, clearly, but I also am trying to get us to be more disciplined about how we take actions. So it was pointed out to me that we don't usually talk about how many people did a site review, even though that's really what we're required to do, to go take a look at the property. So I am trying to work in a process where, in addition to asking if there's conflicts, I would like to ask if there's a show of hands for people who were able to do a site review.
I look at everyone.
Do you? Well, you're exemplary.
Oh. I've never been that before in my life. So that's like,
I did a Google Street View. I don't know if that
counts. I think that.
That could fit.
I've never been told that.
Well, then I'd say that's 100%. That's pretty darn good.
That's funny.
Okay. So, this is where we get the staff report.
Yeah, and I don't have a lot to add beyond the description, but I mean, this is at 748 Siskiyou. The property's historically been a church. There's also a detached residence on site.
Right.
The applicants are proposing to change the use to have it be office and storage in the previous church space for the American Band College. And in conjunction with the site review and conditional use process for that, they're proposing to make some changes to the exterior of the building. And I think Amy can probably speak to that in more detail, but I've got the drawings from your packet on screen. And I think it's, you know, adding a pergola and this new element at the top. And I think Amy can explain it better from
sure.
there.
Thank you, Amy.
Hello. Hey. So I'm representing the American Band College. The name is somewhat deceptive because there's not a college moving into the site. American Band College is a organization of high school and collegiate band directors from around the country in the United States, and they come to Ashland every year around the 4th of July, and they go to classes at SOU and at the high school, but their headquarters is here. The gentleman who runs the program, his father actually lives in town, so they have like a home-based business here, but they have lots and lots of musical equipment, like timpanis and glockenspiels and, you know, really big stuff and stage equipment and all those things that has historically been stored at Ashland School District properties. Because of Ashland School District needing to utilize their space, American Band College got the boot. And they needed to come up with a place where they could have their music, sheet music. They have volumes and volumes of actual paper sheet music because they're musicians. They don't look at their phones or tablets, you know. They actually have volumes of sheet music. And so in the northwest corner of the building on the inside, there's racks of music. So this sort of all started with they needed to shore up the floor to hold the weight of the music because it was too bouncy for people, let alone tons of sheet music. So they got a building permit to hold up the floor. That triggered what you doing on the inside? That triggered the site review. So we were like, well, we have no parking. There's just a driveway and like a walkway. The driveway is about 8 feet wide, sandwiched between these two big trees. they didn't want to cut down the trees, but you cannot really get a vehicle in there very well. It's at too much of an angle, and if you look closely, it looks like there's been stormwater maybe destroying the gutter for, I don't know, 100 years. So it's just a really unfortunate situation with the apron. They need to cut down this tree, widen the apron, and then because you can't just say, well, we're not going to do anything with the site and leave it as is, we are proposing only 3 parking spaces. Okay. And that is because there's 0 now. The church would have required many. I don't know exactly how many, but lots. There's a residence there that would require 1.75 by itself. And then they really only use about 500 square feet for their administration. The rest of it is literally just wide open space. And then the lower
they
floor.
Who?
The American Band College.
Oh.
When they're doing their stuff here. Because okay. Even like the students will go there to get the music.
Oh, so
and then they take it away.
Oh.
To the places where they're doing their performance.
So they have had access to this building before.
They just moved their equipment in. I don't know the exact, you guys probably know actually the better timeline for inspections, but I'd say this summer were doing the work.
All right.
I don't think they moved their sheet music in until after their 4th of July performance. They got the building permit inspections done. They moved their sheet music in. They fixed up the inside, and now they need to do the outside work.
Okay.
So between the installation of the parking spaces and then the ramp isn't big enough. Like when you walked out the door, you were hitting a rail and then the stairs were right there. So there was no ADA access. So they're putting in a new ramp system because they have the new parking area. Then to get people, equipment from that parking area down to the main door off of Siskiyou, they're adding this walkway element and then improving the landscaping on both sides of the walkway that will be set just off of the sidewalk. They're going to put some vegetation in there.
Where there's concrete now?
So right now there's I think it's about a 5.5-foot curbside sidewalk. And then there's a hodgepodge of retaining walls that are, there's like a stack block, there's a poured wall, and then I think there might be some keystone block walls. So they're going to pull those back and have some vegetation, a walkway, and then a new retaining wall that will be, I believe, uniform with the poured wall that's existing. I think that might be, we don't really have a big graphic out of it because you're looking at that retaining wall, but the site plan sort of shows how it will look. They can't come in off of Siskiyou for obvious reasons. There's a park road, there's a bus stop, there's a parking bay, there's a driveway or the curb bump out. So it was the next best thing was to try to get this walkway down on the side. So they'll have some vegetation between the sidewalk piece and then the new retaining wall will be behind it. And it goes from about 4 feet and tapers down to 0. That's where the driveway is. So the parking spaces are up by the building and then they have this backup so they can back up and come out. So they're pointed heading out onto Liberty Street, because even though there's not a lot of traffic on Liberty Street, the angle of it, you don't have to slow down much when you come off of Siskiyou Boulevard. You could just keep going 20. So we didn't want to have them come backing down that driveway as people are ripping around that corner. So that little turnout will provide them the ability to get their noses out facing forward. So then while we're at it, I was like, well.
Can I just ask one question?
Yeah, yeah.
You're on that part.
Yeah.
You talked about a walkway or steps.
Right here's the walkway.
Okay. So it wasn't those steps that come out of the building and the.
No. So right now.
On the right end towards Siskiyou?
Right now, this is, there's some steps over here.
Yeah.
We're not touching those. They're just going to stay.
Okay.
For now. This door is like a solid panel door. And when you walk in, you're at the. You'd be where the preacher was standing if the church was there.
Really?
It was like the exit at the front of the building. So right now it's in a really weird spot. You can't really get there. So this is the primary entrance, and this is actually where the lobby is when you walk into the building, and then the restroom, and then this portion of the building is like what was the sanctuary and is now where the music is. So the music's here. This is a big room, and then this is a lobby. So this is the ramp right here, and it comes down and just lands in this area here, so we're turning it and bringing it back this way so it achieves grade. So there's ADA access. And then this is where the catalpa tree is that's getting removed, and they really want to try to keep the cedar tree. And we know that we'll need to have an arborist on site when we're working on it.
And hopefully I don't get told it needs to come down. Because we really don't want to take it down. But because it's turning into a really expensive project. So while we were doing the site review, that building's really ugly. You know, that front of that tall, it's really ugly. The tall piece is because when you're inside, you're in a church sanctuary, so it doesn't feel so tall. It's a big open ceiling. But because of the outside, they just had a cross there, and it looked fine. But so we were like, well, while we're at it, might as well change the exterior of the building. And since it's in the historic district, that became part of the site review. And this is what we came up with. Across the street is the Unitarian Fellowship. It has bigger trim. It has a pergola. It has some trim in the dormers. There's other houses in that area that are craftsman-esque. And so we're trying to pull some of that element and break up this big, flat mass. And the awning piece that's there, it's a flat piece. It's like a marquee type of awning, but it's in really, really bad condition. And so they're going to pull that down and put this up.
Was this place vacant a really long time? I wondered. I've always wondered.
So there's the, it's a little scattered. I didn't put too much in my findings because I don't know how true it is. But I believe that it was used as a recording studio for many, many, many years by a semi-famous recording artist in the area.
Oh, is that
right? And it was on the down low, and there wasn't very many people that knew about it. It was really quiet. It seemed vacant. And now they have lights on timers. And so I don't know if the city's been getting calls, but I've heard like there's people spending the night there and they just have lights on timers.
No.
So that, you know, it looks like someone's there.
But the deterioration is because of not having.
Yeah, thankfully the structure itself, I think, it's just a 1960s building.
Yeah.
I don't think they put too much thought into how much weight is this building going to hold and for how long.
Right.
And so once the people moved out and the altar was there, and it was probably just the pastor that was there, and they put all that weight, it changed everything. So it started on the inside, and then they had to fix the parking, and then that sort of spiraled into the change of the building. But they own it. They use it. It's a successful program. It brings lots and lots of really interesting, highly educated people to play really great music here for like 10 days, and then they leave.
And they're right with the SOU, which
They stay. I think they stay in the dorms. Side note, when I bartended, they would come to Omar's, and they party. Those band directors. And but I believe that they lived in the dorms. They practice at SOU and at the high school. They are not the band that is like the Thunder of Drums band.
Right.
They're not those guys. They are not the ones that are the flying over planes. You know, there won't be a big band playing in this building.
Because it's all the band leader.
It's band directors. Yeah. It's like high school and college band directors.
That's what
I have a very good friend who's Marianne Robinson.
Yeah, is she one of the band directors?
Yes, and Marianne has worked in the program for years. When they bought the building, she took me to see it. And they're all band educators. They're music educators.
They are.
And I think they come 2 summers and get a master's degree.
They do. It's part of their
courses. About it. It's an excellent program. You know, probably the top program of its kind in the country.
It is. It is. They're very good at what they do. They're the best of the best in the band world. And now they have a place to store their stuff safely. That is their own and not reliant on the schools.
Right. Well, they kind of got bumped, you said.
Yeah, they did. And so I didn't have a color scheme or anything like that. My understanding is they were going to try to leave everything in natural wood form. But if you guys have any suggestions, they do want to paint it. The building.
Yeah.
I have some suggestions on that. I'll get you the address of a house to drive by.
Okay. They'd be
which looks, it's got a similar look and feel to what you're doing. It's very good looking. I'm sure that you guys had to approve it.
Yeah, and I don't know. There are all the dimensions of the materials are on the Civil West plans.
What was the question that you had, Katie, about
the paint?
What about it?
She was talking about a house that has a color that she was going to suggest.
It's up on Union and
Fairview.
Do you know, did you do something on Fairview? It's kind of, if you're keeping the wood a natural color, mm-hmm. and like that, and then the house is just a creamy, like a milky white, and it is a pretty house, and you can go drive by. It's like the second house in on the corner of Union and Fairview.
Okay.
If just, I don't know.
I'll check it out.
And you had another question, Dale?
Yeah, in regards to paint, typically what's prohibited in the historic district are bright colors that attract attention. And usually the color scheme, it's fine to make a suggestion, but
yeah.
it wouldn't be a condition unless it was proposed as something bright. And
well, this house on Union and Fairview is in the historic downtown.
Yeah, I'm just.
So I guess at some point it had to come through this.
He clarified that for me.
Yeah.
The colors we don't usually get involved in unless it's really out of place.
I was just asking for a suggestion.
Yeah, she asked and I said, I have an idea.
And you had an idea for the last applicant. So yeah. That was good.
Thank you. I'll try to get
your address. So, but I will comment on painting. Because,
yeah. Oh, okay.
Because I don't, we often see natural wood put on older buildings. And
well, that's, I don't want the natural wood to look like.
You don't want it to jump out at you.
Yeah, I don't want to look like
it. This is actually quite a large, attached pergola. And so I would suggest it gets painted with trim color to keep it as low key as possible.
Okay. That's more what I was looking for. Leave it wood or paint it out.
And then since we're talking about that end, right now there's 5 knee braces on the end gable.
Yep.
It looks like they're taking those off.
Yes.
And I would only say that those relate to the little house because the little house also has those knee braces.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's pretty attractive detail and more in keeping with the pergola that's below because it has similar knee braces now,
mm-hmm.
as does the church across the street.
Mm-hmm.
And so in lieu of taking those off and putting a new kind of more contemporary rounded gable detail, I would suggest leaving the knee braces. And I don't think you can put that little extra on with the knee braces in place. It could.
I think they would be.
They'd be in the way.
Yeah, I think they stick. I think they're flush with the eave roughly.
There's 4 of them, so there isn't one at the top. So
they
actually might fit in there, but I wouldn't take them off if you wanted to add the other.
Yeah, they seem really small, and maybe it's because of how, maybe they just need to be widened.
Well, on the other hand, when I look at the dimension of what's called out for the pergola, mm-hmm. they're awfully big.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, way out of scale in terms of historic. I think there are a lot of 4x12s on the other. Do you have that detail?
He's got that detail on. It's on page S22. Simpson Truss. Let's see what he's got. Oh, those are just the supports. 4x12. And then a 6x12 beam. I'm not seeing his knee brace called out.
I think I saw it in some sections.
He's really thorough, so it's like engineer, an all engineer on these plans. it says S2.3. There it is.
You found.
There's the similar knee braces on the other one.
Oh, thank you. Derek's very mm-hmm. good at this.
Well, thank you. Yeah, see, they stick out on the house past it.
You have a picture of that?
I'm checking. Okay. I don't have a picture, but I'm seeing what the county has.
If you click on the.
I've got one on my phone.
On
I don't
this know if that one. On the actual map, it'll pull up the Google Street View option.
Okay. You don't have a paper copy of it.
I do.
It's not in my pocket. I don't know where it is. Yes, the Church of Divine Transformation, according to Google. So that's what I, when I was saying, I don't really know what it says.
Oh, I think that's true because, of course.
There they are, Dale. They, see, they look really, they're puny by comparison to how big the mass is. You know, they're really out of scale. Like, they seem bigger on the house than they do up there.
Well, I would call them pretty proportional myself.
Yeah. But,
and then when I look at the bottom, and typically if you did a pergola that you'd have, mm-hmm. you know, members, so the ones that stick out, you know, in 2 foot centers or something like that, and they would typically be more like 2x6, 2x8, maybe 3x6s, and 4x12 just seems giant. Those existing knee braces are made out of 4x4s.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of keeping that scale, in my mind, would be a better scale than the overly heavy pergola that's proposed.
So are you suggesting to not do the eave detail?
I love the proposed.
And okay. But to like reduce the sizes of the knee braces.
It's all about scale.
Yeah.
When you look at this section, and they are there somewhere in the plans. And 6x12s and 4x12s are giant. You wouldn't see them in town.
So there should be another picture, you're thinking.
Well, there's drawings of that song. Maybe there's call outs or something. There it is, that section that says in the upper right hand corner of that sheet.
Are we providing input on this? What is
yeah.
our? This
mm-hmm.
is our. Oh.
This is our role. Yes.
I thought that we were like, on it. Okay.
Well,
if you look at the standards.
Yeah.
And you look at what's typical to the neighborhoods,
yeah.
the scale of the building. So we look at bulk mm-hmm. scale, rhythms of openings, that sort of thing.
And that's mm-hmm. what we discussed then. Mm-hmm. Is how those standards apply to the project.
I think that this particular project is stunning in that it brings an old building, it keeps the old building, right? But it also makes it modern I just think that the size, the scale that they do have presented is sort of it just brings it up to date a little bit more. It just makes it we're not trying to make it a historic, it's not a necessarily a historic building, it's just in a historic neighborhood. So I think that what it does is it really creates a fresh, newer look, but keeping a very,
keeping the
character of the neighborhood. So I kind of liked I like the scale of it as presented, because I think it kind of brings the city forward with a kind of a bolder look, but still keeping the character of the neighborhood.
Okay, so this is a 1960 roughly building.
Yeah.
And those knee braces, I would guess, are probably original.
Mm-hmm.
And so that building is a historic building at this point, being 60 years old. And to take off the existing historic details is not something we're looking to do in historic. We're not looking to remodel buildings.
Mm-hmm.
To make them look modern or more contemporary. We're trying to make them fit and preserve as much history as there.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so, and I'll just say at this point, this kind of discussion really is for the next, after we close the public hearing. So I was just asking the applicant about mm-hmm. the scale and the details.
Oh, I heard you give your opinion. I'm sorry about that. So I gave my opinion too. We'll yeah. we'll discuss it after. Here's
yep.
the address. If you
oh, thank you.
Oh,
I'm familiar with that address. Yeah, super. Thank you.
So,
okay.
If we wouldn't mind looking at that.
Yeah.
That detailed drawing that you had up for a second. So those are 4x12s on top, 6x12 supports. Does it call out the size of the knee braces? I'm not sure.
I'm not seeing a knee brace call out.
And so anyways, that's my point. That's my point. I just think they're a little bit out of scale.
I think this gentleman behind me saw it, Derek.
Did you see the new braces, Kyle?
Yeah, they scroll a little bit. Back the other way. There you go.
Oh, there it is.
Can you blow that section up? Those two. So that second member down, I'm not sure what size that is. It looks like maybe the horizontal one that's supported by the angled knee brace. It might have been in the upper picture, in the upper detail.
Yeah, that one's the...
Actually, it's not called out. So it appears to be like, if that's a 6x12, it appears to be like a 8x10 or something. I'm not sure. Anyway, That's my suggestion. I just think it's a little heavy for the location, the size of the building.
Are there any other comments?
Well, I think they're a little heavy, too. More appropriate for an Albertsons or a Walmart. But the thing that I do like
just saying.
the thing that I like about them is they raised that what was the awning up substantially higher, which gives the main floor a much better height to width ratio, and the height to height ratio of the basement to the main floor, it breaks it in a way that is much more attractive than what's right there now.
Yeah, it's about 7 feet.
Yeah.
Now and then the rest is.
Yeah, and you can see 17 that feet. It works a lot better. Yeah.
So just in that same illustration there, the existing projected awning that's there now starts right at the brick.
Yes.
And so they raised that up. It looks like 16 inches or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's not showing what's going on. What's going on between the trellis and the top of the brick?
I think one of these sheets called out some, like, what will be behind it.
That structural drawing should show.
Eric, you're way up here. Okay. You want to just... I think.
Yeah, I think
you got the choice.
Line, it shows like they have a 24-inch piece of wood there or something up against the top of the brick and above the brick. It didn't show it in those cross sections.
Something labeled 2x6 behind, that is labeled on S23. We've got that
2x6 called out there. That's part of the knee brace, I think. Is it sure what's above in that circle? Doesn't call out what's in that circle then?
No, I think so. That existing thing that's there is actually it's not like a header. That thing comes into the building and is tied into the wall. So my guess is if they're taking that out, they'll be putting a header there or, there'll be a structural plate there to replace what's being taken out. So I would presume that that would, you know, at this point it's shown on the drawing looking like wood, but where that strip is, that thing goes into the actual structure itself.
Which will all be cut off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you're inside, you see the back of that.
I see.
Yeah, so my guess is they'll have to put a board to fix that.
Okay. Are there any other questions?
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry. Regarding the landscaping plan.
Yeah.
So maybe it's more of a comment/question. As you're building that new retaining wall that will be set back,
mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the landscaping plan that pushes then the grade at a negative 25% slope that will be facing sort of Siskiyou
mm-hmm.
in the corner there. Thank you for pulling that up, Derek. So I'm just thinking that that's like a really great opportunity in a lot of ways to tie that building back into the adjacent neighborhood because of that 25-degree slope. You'll be like, it's kind of a planting bed that'll be like, hey, look at me, you
mm-hmm.
know, because it's that steep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you guys have already thought of this, and that'll get all fleshed out and pretty. And then adjacent to the new or the existing entrance where you have the accessible ramp in there,
yeah.
And you're showing that as DG, is that like a functional reason? I also wonder if that isn't just an opportunity to, you know, soften the building edge, mark the building entrance, call attention to that as well, rather than using DG, unless there's a reason that
I think it's more of a maintenance thing, because it's really only used about 10 times a year. There's not a lot of activity here. And so, like, right now it's deer habitat, and that's who mows.
Uh-huh.
And so they're trying to reduce the amount of labor in the landscaping.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So I had another suggestion about the same gable end that faces Siskiyou.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, of course, it's a blank wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking that they're there and doing remodeling, and there's an opportunity to add some windows. That's a perfect angle.
Not on the inside. You can't, based on what's going on the inside.
What's going on?
Just the way the plaster is in the ceiling, and that's where the rack is. So, yeah, it wouldn't work to put a window out that front end.
Yeah, so the suggestion was to fill those with maybe three windows spaced kind of like they are
yeah.
around the corner there.
Yeah.
And would you just kind of take up some space and create a little bit more detail? Does the ceiling go down that low?
No, it's more of there's the rack systems on the inside that take up about 50% of that area. I don't think I gave you guys a floor plan.
I remember there being a stairwell that comes in from
and then
the
there's a stairwell.
And there's like
there's two different stairwells that go down to the downstairs.
A rear loading like stage area. Something of that. I mean, there was an elevator stage.
I think that might be gone, but there's
The first floor elevation, that's it.
Yep. Well, that's so the first floor is the basement level.
Yeah, I'm at the top floor.
Yeah, so that's it right there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the rack system, and then the racks stick out further than that, and then the stairs go down around with that.
Well, I would just say that it's an opportunity to make an improvement that would take care of that blank wall. It appears that this would be done if the owners were.
I walk by it every day. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Okay, so are there other questions? Because I'm concerned about the amount of time and want to make sure there's a discussion time for after. Is there any more questions for Amy about this?
Thank you.
Thank you. And so now is the time we can also ask questions of the staff, if I understand that right, too, about this building. But do you want to make recommendations? Dale suggested some, and this is the point at which we can make recommendations for the next phase. Anybody want to start? Somebody's got to start.
Is there going to be any signage on this building now?
I don't know.
They cannot put signage on that side because there's not an entrance open to the public during business hours. They've talked about doing potentially like a small ground sign in the lawn area. Mm-hmm. And then if there is a sign up by that side door, it wouldn't be very visible to the public right away due to distance. But yeah, they're not. They can't put a sign on this end of the building.
I mean, historically, the focal point had been the Christian cross, right? And then that has since been removed. So I think anything that they're doing that adds to the street appeal from what's there now is a benefit.
Yeah.
It's pretty black.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Including windows, or what do you mean by that?
Well, windows would be the best. There's no question about it, but if they can't do it.
Well, from the floor plan, you can do it. There's not a ceiling there in the way.
It talks about the window, makes the window. Well, so you're in agreement on that.
I just stepped in. Sorry, and I had a flight that just landed.
That's okay.
So it looks like there's an arbor at the street level. I remember that floor being low. I mean, the first floor is something like 7 foot ceiling height in there, maybe. And then there's some type of the knee braces are removed in the gable, and they've added this additional structure. Is that what's going on?
So previously we just talked about that. You missed that we were talking about the scale of the members of the pergola that are replacing the cantilever awning that's there now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I suggested that they're a little out of scale, being 4x12 and 6x12.
I just say bigger. Bigger.
He wants them smaller.
They're oversized.
Oh.
And
that you would never find that scale of material in a residential commercial district unless it was a giant building. And the other thought was that the existing knee braces look original, they match the little house, and that they should stay on in lieu of taking them off and putting that new proposed gable in treatment. And Amy, I just had another question that was forgotten about. You called out the door on the bottom there.
Yeah, the red one.
Is it that one or the one on the street level?
That one's not being changed. The one on the street level is being widened to a full 3-0 door, but it's going to still be a solid door.
Okay. Because it was called out as a metal stone front door.
That's the one up the entry door, off of Liberty by the parking area.
Oh, okay.
That one.
Mm-hmm. So what's there now is a 10 light door with side lights?
It's a patio door, a wooden beveled patio door,
So that's just a regular swing door, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going away because
the threshold barrier.
Uh-huh.
And that's a residential door. Has no energy efficiencies at all. And can be easily busted open and broken into.
Okay.
And it's ugly. It's not like a commercial building. It'd be lovely at my house, but yeah, it's not great there. So they would be putting the metal door in there. And the solid would stay.
So it would match that one that's there? The solid door?
That door just doesn't, there's no change to it. There's no change proposed at that spot for anything.
But I'm asking, is the metal door that you're proposing for where the small lights are, it's going to be a solid door like that?
No, it's going to be a typical storefront door, aluminum frame with the pressurized glass like this.
Like that?
Yeah.
There you go.
Typical storefront door.
Okay. So I would say that why wouldn't you consider a bit more of a residential door, even if it was single, if it had glass in it.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a wood door painted with full glass. It would look less commercial and not show all the metal.
I think it's more about the ADA button. If they have to put the ADA thing, I don't know if that setup goes with other types of doors.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so as I understand it, we probably should have a motion to recommend
And if there's any particular changes you'd like to recommend. I heard two people discuss this, the heaviness of the knee braces and the scale. So how would you guys who are architects describe that in a motion?
Just to move it along forward without making a motion, if we discuss some of the items that we talked about and kind of get a straw poll and then we can make a motion and move forward.
Okay, so what you're suggesting is to lay out the...
Well, the first question was, should the weight of the pergola and the members be reduced to be more residential in scale or more proportion to the size of the building? Is that concur with anybody?
Weight of the... I don't know what members are, though.
So I would vote for reducing the size of the members, but not necessarily the scale of them, because I want that to have more height to make the proportion for the building more normal. That the 7-foot basement looks almost comical against the upper story.
Okay, so we're talking about reducing the size, but not the scale. Is that correct?
That's my opinion.
Well, does anybody else, is everybody else concur with that?
My opinion is I like it as it's proposed. I like, the way it's existing with the solid low roof, which is basically right above the door, it feels really crowded, and now it feels like they've added some air. They're almost breaking it in the middle of the building so that that mass on the top where the T111 isn't so big. And so, and this is a line drawing. I think it's probably, is it going to be finished in natural wood or is it going to be painted? Or?
They hadn't necessarily specified. We talked before you got here about not leaving it wood so it didn't look like it was afterthought
out of them. Is it going to be stained or I'm just curious how the treatment is going to be in relationship to the building.
I think it would be the same color as trim, sort of what's happening there with the existing building. And it looks like almost all the other buildings in the area, too. There's one in the background, the little house, it's trim. There's one next door that's not on, and I think the one across this, I think the church is the same color as their trim, too, Unitarian Church.
I mean, I like that they've elevated that pergola, whatever they're calling it, because it was really crowded and it felt compressed in there. So
I felt that 4x12s was large. It could be more like 3x8s or something.
What's the rough height from grade to the peak? I'm just curious.
I want to say it's 17 feet 10 inches or so. Let's call that on one of them.
So,
top of the pergola is 10.2.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was 17 feet above the basement.
So,
it's more like 24 feet.
You are saying the scale doesn't have to be diminished?
I'm not having a problem with it.
Right.
And I would make it a suggestion, but I'm not tied into it. One of the things about the larger members, it tends to increase the height of it. And increasing the height is breaking the building at a higher elevation.
Which is what you like.
Yeah.
Well, we're not saying, they raised it about a foot from where the existing cantilevered part is. So that is reducing the height.
And I think the treatment in the pictures of room from the gable there is more attractive than what was there with the knee braces. Personally, it's definitely more difficult to construct and build.
Well, can we get the existing picture again?
How far?
So I'll be repeating myself, but you weren't here when I suggested that the knee braces that are there stay. that they were part of the 1960s building, and then that's the little cottages around the corner. Mm-hmm. And I think it's unnecessary to add more detail. If they could leave the knee braces and add a little bit, you know, some sort of little extra treatment, that would be good. And then the other suggestion was that three windows could be spaced along that side that would break that tall wall up. Also,
a bank of windows.
I mean, you're talking about the other thing you're adding is it's kind of up, going to be up here, right? But it's going to be raised to up here, right?
Yeah.
It's raised about a foot above the existing brick now.
Well, do they need one? I mean, what if they don't want windows? I mean, windows just, they have music
well,
in there.
It breaks it up, don't you?
Well, I know, but they have, they're not, it's music that's in there. They, and then light, I mean, there might be considerations for them.
Absolutely, they could have something going on there that they may not work.
Right.
The suggestion is that they look at that possibility because it would make the house more compatible with the neighborhood and any building that faces Siskiyou Boulevard, which all have windows.
But this
and
isn't so a
it's
house,
an opportunity,
though.
It's an opportunity to improve a very blank wall.
Well, the church across the street doesn't have windows. But it does have a big logo on the front.
I think it's beautiful as
do you
as
I wouldn't just get another voice in here.
Just to throw another wrench in there, I would argue
no, you're supposed
that,
to
that this building is old enough to be a historic in and of itself, and those as it is now, if we're adding something to it, we're just adding something to it just to add something to it for the sake of our aesthetic opinions
yeah.
today.
Mm-hmm.
We're not really honoring the 1964 aesthetic mm-hmm. of that building. And
the,
I think,
with respect to the windows, you're saying?
With respect to that whole
thing,
facade.
Everything
that
everything.
Whole thing. I mean, that's very 1964. Not every building is beautiful, but that one is historic in its own way.
Yeah, that is true.
So we're just, you know, applying our own aesthetic, you know, in 2022 to that building. No.
Do we have any historic pictures of it from the 60s that it even had knee braces when it was originally done?
Good question.
I mean, it was probably streamlined. It was probably just like
this could have been added.
Yeah.
Like, warehouse. Do we have? Do you think there's
I don't believe we do.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
If we did, it would be from Terry, and
yeah,
he didn't provide anything.
So.
Shelby makes a good point, though, that this hasn't changed in our lifetime. Maybe not in Terry's either.
Okay, I wonder how we move forward on the recommendation then.
I think they've proposed adding the pergola, and because the building, although it's historic, is
pretty boring. Yeah,
I would just say let them go ahead with it. You know, I don't see any reason to stop them.
Yeah, and you know, there doesn't have to be a consensus. That I don't know though. Do we have to take a vote on our recommendations?
I mean, typically you need to provide a recommendation
that
a majority of you will support.
Right.
I mean, whether you vote or get to it by
consensus
or whatever, but yeah, typically it would be a.
Okay, that's what
there'd
I.
There'd be
thought.
A motion of the
Thank
commission
you.
To.
So, Bill, do you have a suggestion that we? It sounds like you're saying, the pergola, adds something, even though it's not. Clinically, that's not the right word, but clinically to the 1960s, but. It still doesn't address the issue of the size that you're concerned about. You're okay with the size.
Yeah, I sense that most others are.
Yeah. Are we?
I'm going to make a motion.
Okay. That's good. Yeah, right.
So, I make a motion to approve this application with the conditions that might include, and we're going to vote up.
Recommendation.
Try. It's a recommendation,
recommendation
instead of a
recommendation that we approve the the building as presented in terms of the pergola. They might consider reducing the size of the members, but I think the pergola is appropriate. I would also suggest that they think about putting three windows spaced equally apart, kind of like the same way it is around the corner on the gable end, to add some more detail to a very plain, simple facade, and that they leave the knee braces in place in lieu of the gable end treatment, or leave the knee braces in place and add that extra part, which you might be able to do given where the locations of the existing knee braces.
We have to find a quicker way to say that.
So, what's that?
We have to find a quicker way to say it all that. What you just said.
Okay, so now that I've explained what
that's
my motion
not Dale's
is,
style.
Yeah. Now that I've explained my motion, I just want to get a straw vote on each part.
A straw vote.
The first part is, which will be a part of my motion, and we'll take a majority. That the pergola is a favorable part of the proposal, and everybody in agreement there?
Yes.
All those in favor, raise your hands.
We all like
that.
Okay,
we got enough of that. Thank you. We appreciate your point of view. That would be my second motion. So the second part of my motion was my motion was leaving the knee braces. The existing knee braces, and then if it seemed appropriate to add the extra gable details that they proposed. Do people agree with that? Giving them the choice of whether they want to still put that piece in there and leave the knee braces.
Or leaving it as proposed. So what are we voting on?
My motion is, and if it fails, we can modify it. That the knee braces stay because they're historic, they match the cottage, and if they would want to add the other proposed gable end treatment, that they could do that as long as the knee braces stay. Do I have any agreement
so
there?
So can we?
Is that clear?
Okay, the two things I hear.
I have a problem with that just because we don't have a visual representation of what those knee braces would look like with the new gable treatment. So we're kind of like.
Kind of a picture of it.
I know, but that's with the knee braces plus the gable treatment. So
yeah.
I think it's kind of.
It's one or the other.
I can see, though, that the knee braces would fit based on the drawings because they're at the corners and at the third points. And so they would probably miss some of that. So they could coexist.
They could coexist with
that treatment, gable treatment.
With
that's
the gable treatment.
That would be an option.
Okay.
So let me first say that I would say that the knee braces should stay.
Yes.
Everybody in agreement with that or not?
Anybody in agreement with that?
Well, again, part of the original.
I prefer the plan as presented.
Pardon me?
I prefer the plan as presented.
Okay. So then you wouldn't vote for leaving the knee braces.
Okay. Because I don't think that leaving the knee braces and then giving them the choice to add what they're proposing I think it's either the knee braces or the proposed
pergola.
Because if you see the knee braces and then if Derek can click back to the proposal, it doesn't.
As you say that, I would agree. To me, it's probably too much. So my motion now is that they would exclude the gable end treatment and leave the existing four knee braces as is.
Oh,
can I get a show of hands who would support that?
Exclude the gable treatment.
Exclude the curved piece and the two, three vertical parts.
Yeah.
Exclude those, but leave the knee braces as is, just like that.
Okay.
And put the pergola down below.
And
pergola below is as is. So is there anybody that prefer that option of knee braces only? Am I the only one?
I think
right spot.
Possibly.
Okay. So then the other option is do you take the knee braces off and put the gable treatment in?
Yes.
So all those in favor?
One advantage of the gable treatment is that arc tends to lower off the overall height of the main floor.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's what they propose. So okay.
It seems to just kind of bring it down.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Okay.
All right. So
okay. So then the gable end we like as is,
right?
As proposed.
So
and then the third question was whether
the windows,
whether we suggest them adding a bank of three windows that were separated. If you look at that view again, can we see your picture there?
I think they're wrong.
So those two, I would suggest using the windows on the two ends. Let's just
this
call
end
them,
or this end?
That end. So let's call them 2 foot, they're up there. Mm-hmm. Let's call them 30 inches square. And those two on the end have a space between them about equal to the width of each of them. So if you took that same pattern and moved it to the other side, but because it's a lot wider building, you put three of them on there, spaced equally apart, not ranked like the other ones on the left side.
So it's an aesthetic that okay.
or let me first ask, is there any agreement to add any windows?
I don't agree.
Okay. Nobody else?
I'd like to leave it to the discretion of the
applicant.
Use? Like if they came to this meeting and said, hey, that sounds like a great idea, and it's actually going to work with what we're doing inside, and maybe we do want morning light now.
Okay.
Yeah, I just leave it as a suggestion.
Okay. So part of my motion will be a suggestion that they add some more windows. Are you clear on the spacing on them?
They
could be three ranked windows together, mold together, or they could have a little bit of space between them. So just give them the choice that if they wanted to add windows, it would either be three tight together or three separate ones somewhere to the right end.
And I believe the ones that they have installed are vinyl.
They're all vinyl, so you can put vinyl in too.
So why not leave it up to them as space?
I mean, as the motion was, it was approved as submitted with the following recommendations.
Yeah, yes.
So, I mean, it's as submitted, consider the following.
Right.
Yeah.
So now we've eliminated. The only suggestion would be consider reducing the size of the members and consider adding windows to the street side, either a tight configuration or three spaced windows. And that's something that's just a suggestion.
I think we voted not to.
Well, he just raised the idea that they may want to put windows.
I mean, not to reduce the size. I think
of what?
I think
there was
voted
a,
in here not
the
to
straw
reduce the
poll
size.
Was not to reduce the size.
Okay, is that true?
Yeah.
That's what happened.
And they may reduce the size based on the cost of those members too.
Yeah. So it sounds to me like we're saying that the project as submitted with a possible addition of windows, but I saw people voting against that too.
I think it's the project as submitted looks great. And it's basically approved, and it's up to their discretion if they would like to add a bank of three windows per Dale's recommendation.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Okay.
So that's it.
To Shelby's point, though, the addition of the windows, well, I mean, the whole thing has changed from the 60s building, but the addition of the windows really.
The real issue I have with the windows, Dale, is that it's not reversible. Like that, if you add that arch, you could take that off and you could turn that building back into 1960, whatever. But if you put windows in there, that makes it a little bit more difficult to reverse that change.
Yeah, I agree. But
theoretically, that's why I'm
you're also reversing the change of the gable by changing it and taking the knee breaks off.
Yeah.
Right? So how far do you go? The use has changed.
Well, but sure, I see what you're saying.
You have more light. Could be rational.
Easily remove those pieces and put the knee braces back in if somebody wanted to. But
it's harder to patch a window, I guess, is what I'm getting at, rather than taking down
it on. I think isn't the other part of the building stuff.
The small building.
It's all it's all T111. Yeah, you can see up here under the email.
My sense.
Okay, so let me just ask finally, is there any consensus to suggest that they look at a window change with the end or addition of windows on the end?
I would just let them do what they want to do.
Yeah, I don't think there's a consensus on it.
I think if they want to do it, great. If they don't,
yeah, I think what Eric said, it's whatever they need because they're storing things in there that might not want to see light.
Okay, so my motion will include the possibility that they could put windows if they'd like on the gable end.
Absolutely. Okay, so.
And those two configurations could be mentioned.
So, okay.
So is my motion clear? It's basically we're approving as is with the suggestion that the windows might be an addition to the street end of the building, matching the existing pattern.
Does that make sense to you, Derek?
It makes sense if there's a second.
Yes, there is a second. Is there a second? Okay. Very good.
Wait, a second then.
Eric.
Okay, got it.
And so I think we've had the discussion. And if all those in favor say aye.
Right. Aye. Aye. Okay. Dale, thank you for leading us through that. Those were some good
conversations. Well, that's, yeah.
And I think, personally, I missed the first part.
That's
I
okay.
Flight, but I think anything that happens to this building is an enhancement.
It, yes, that's the truth.
And we're lucky to have American Band College here.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And so we're moving on to the second, and I have...
How many do we have?
We have
23.
John Pugh.
Oh, and
so I think we're now on to the second one. This isn't the right. Yeah, this is not the right thing. Here's the agenda. Is here, can I borrow mine back? Sorry. We're going to the building permit review. Now, most of you, I hope, have seen the email from Derek. And
yeah, and I can just clarify this. This is on the agenda as a building permit review.
Correct.
For changing out windows at Paddington Station at 125 East Main.
Thank you.
I think having it on the agenda as a building permit review was that there was a little bit of lacking clarity in terms of what process we needed to follow, because while the applicant was looking at weather and what they needed to provide for building and potentially planning wasn't sure. Typically a window change out doesn't even require a building permit, which wouldn't have any sort of review. But given that this is a National Register listed building, contributing resource in the downtown, we wanted to be kind of mindful of that, scheduled it before you here, made the applicant aware that that process was sort of needing to be solidified. The building officials made clear it needs a building permit. That means it does have to go through site review because it's exterior modifications requiring a building permit on a National Register listed contributing structure. So this review really isn't a building permit review so much as a pre-app discussion that's going to advise the applicants as they move forward. So you don't need to follow the ex parte contact and those things. It's really just sort of to give the applicant
feedback.
And clear feedback. And Dale submitted a letter thinking he wasn't going to be here tonight. So we have that we've provided to the applicant team. So it's really, I think, a matter of if they want to say anything and then
that's right.
What feedback you want to provide them.
So why don't we give you people who have been patiently sitting there. Kyle, do you want to present?
Please.
Absolutely.
I'll sit over here on this side. Hi, I'm one of the building owners and the owner of Paddington.
Feel free to speak up.
Yes.
Oh, you know.
So thank you. I know this is a little bit maybe different of a procedure than what we were anticipating here. And I guess maybe just a back up, just a little bit of backstory. It was about a year and a half, maybe a year and 3 months ago that Pam touched base with us and said, hey, we need to do something about our windows. And we kind of jumped right into it. And at the time, we had kind of a massive glass shortage in the nation. So we kind of put it on pause for a minute with COVID and all of those things. It was a problem getting some product. So we went through a few different options. We looked at a few different vendors, tried to figure out what products were available to us. And frankly, the glass is huge. So the options for what glass panels fit in there, not broad. It's a pretty narrow scope of what's available to us. The main goals that we were trying to achieve, as I understood them at the time and have come to dial in on a little bit further, is there's a heating and cooling issue there to some degree. It is not as much the energy savings that we're concerned with. It is more about the fact that the windows create kind of a magnifying glass effect into the inside of the building. And we've got a pretty tremendous glare inside the building. There are aesthetic issues associated with them, that some of the glass panes have been broken over time. There are variations of glass, from the old original wavy glass that's in there to something that looks like it went in maybe the 60s, 70s, something along those lines, with some tint on them.
I have pictures I'm going to pass around if you folks want to.
That's a pretty good picture showing the difference in tint.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
there's...
Yeah. And actually, if I may point up here a little bit, so you can see these panels up here are different colors. These two panes themselves have different tint on the inside, which is an applied film. And the simple solution in our mind was, well, let's just take the tint off and let's try to retint them. We called several glass companies out to look at it. They wouldn't touch it. Said, we're not going to mess with the glass.
Size.
No, the glass itself is single pane glass. It is not tempered.
Oh, that's what they don't want.
So they won't play with it for fear of breaking it.
Gotcha.
Now, what we also found out is that security and safety are two of the next biggest items. So those three topics. So it's the heating and cooling, along with the glare and the aesthetics on the inside. It's the safety issue and the aesthetics of having mismatched glass. The safety issue being that some of that glass is 12 feet up in the air, and it's single pane, non-tempered glass.
We've had three breakages in the 30 years I've been in this building, and we've been lucky that no one has been devastatingly hurt. That they've all happened at night with drunk people, and that will continue as long as there's bars in downtown Ashland, and that's one reason we have those window boxes out in front, because it's one layer away from the window, but it has broken three times in the 30 years. It's been 20 years since I've had one. About 3 months ago, we had a bar fight there from the iPub, and oh, they hit the pillar there between the two things, and we have the video up because we have cameras out there. And the police were going, God, I was so lucky that guy didn't die, because he could have just gone mortally.
So, remind us, the issues are the glare and the
security, safety, and then the aesthetics, that that there's multiple different colors, multiple different tints on glass. And the picture does definitely show it. You can see the difference in some of the colors, but when you're there in person, you can really see it.
I'll just say it.
So the glare relates to energy, though, doesn't it?
The glare affects the people that are working inside.
Oh.
You stand in the building and you look outside and you can't see. It's the sun.
That,
it's a magnifying glass.
Even with the awning, huh?
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
This is going to be your problem.
So those are all the factors that we kind of came to and said, okay, we need to find a solution to this problem. Now, Pam has done a tremendous job over the ownership of the building. She's won some awards from this council.
I love my building.
Pam, and I feel the same way, that we are here as a collaborative spirit. We want to find the right solution here. So our target was to find something that was as closely representing what is here to what is available to us in the marketplace. So big giant panes of glass like this are not available in a tempered product that is quarter inch plate glass. It doesn't exist, you can't get it. The next option is to go to what I call an IGU, which is an insulated glass unit, which is a 1 inch thick piece of glass. We can get those that big, but the weight of those is such that the existing frame won't hold it. So we're kind of stuck in a position, okay, what do we do? How do we solve this problem? So what we came up with is what we proposed, which I'm sure you guys have seen some of. I didn't present an architectural drawing. I didn't give you scaled documents because I didn't know I was coming here.
Oh, that's
funny. I sent it to the building department thinking I need a building permit. So that's why we're here to discuss. And Dale was kind enough to give me some of his time, and we walked and looked at the property, and he gave me some of his ideas and maybe some of the concerns that I hadn't thought about in our initial proposal. The proposal that we have is for an aluminum channel, very similar construction to what you're looking at behind you. So it's a dark bronze product. It's an aluminum channel frame that holds a 1 inch IGU product that is thermally insulated. It's got a low E coating on it. you know, all of those things that achieve both our heating and cooling, our glare issues, our safety issues, our aesthetic issues from the uniformity of glass, but it doesn't address the historic nature of the aesthetics as well as Dale had pointed out to me on site. So some of those options, or as we're looking at this, some of the bigger detailing items are that there are these half round caps that cover the what I call a mullion. I don't know if that's the right term, but yeah. The mullions in between the panes of glass are these half round caps. Dale and I spoke on site that those are available. Those are manufactured for this type of mold unit in an aluminum frame channel. What we did find out is that they've been discontinued and we can no longer get them. So the option would be to manufacture something and apply it to the external channeling. Again, I feel like we tried pretty hard to match the existing character of the building to what is available on a product today. So just for some information purposes, the existing mullions are 2 5/16 of an inch wide. What we have proposed is 2 1/4 inches wide. So 1/16 of an inch different. Winning, yeah. pretty good.
They look pretty thin for the metal glass.
Yeah.
It is.
It is. Well, and they're wood on the inside. So a horizontal member at 2 5/16 can't hold a lot of weight. You know, so that's really kind of the issue. The existing members average, they do kind of bounce in and out on a depth of about 5 inches on average. And what we're proposing is 7 inches deep for the channel of the frame. The biggest concern that I have is, crazy to think, it's not square. It's not straight. It's not level. None of it. So if we were going to install something like this, we can't order things that are out of square and out of level. We have to square it and true it. So what's going to happen are, and Dale and I discussed this on site, is that this is kind of our high point, and it kind of leaks down here and it leaks down here. So there would be some trim work. There would be an aluminum rail at the bottom sitting here, and then there would be a piece of custom fit trim work that would have to fit underneath that to fill the gap. Same thing would happen in like this corner right here, where our trim piece would have to sit on the inside of the framing member, and then we'd have to create a custom trim piece to try to fill that void because they just don't make that shape. It's not a thing. So, the proposal that we put forth shows separating this pane of glass into two panes of glass on all three of these. So we're going from 3 windows to 6. We did that for ease of shipping. Frankly, I think we thought it looked better, but one of the recommendations, again, from Dale, or at least a comment from Dale, was that keeping the characteristic of the larger pane of glass would be more in keeping with the historic nature of the building. And I think that's something that we would absolutely be open to and don't have any issue with. So,
and
anyway.
You could do that with the one inch IGUs.
I asked that question specifically, and I haven't got a solid answer, but I think the answer is yes.
What was the question?
I didn't hear that.
Whether they could do that size of pane with the one inch IGUs.
Oh, IGUs.
It's a glass unit.
Yeah, what's the glass thickness on the IGUs?
1 inch. Oh, the glass itself. It's 2 1/4 inch panes with a 1 inch air. Or I'm sorry, it's a half inch air gap.
Yeah, so that should be adequate, I would imagine.
Yes. And it would be tempered.
It would be tempered. Yeah. Yep. Low-E coated, argon gas filled, all of those things.
Yeah. And typically, when you get over 40 square feet, you have to be required to be tempered anyhow.
And that height off
as well.
Well, and it also has a height requirement off the ground. So if it's that close to the ground, it's got to be tempered anyway.
No,
we're
going to replace the upper window. So the tempered glass, you said, wasn't available for the 3 windows.
The single.
And single pane, it is not available, correct?
So.
And that big. The upper sections would be, but not in that large of a product.
So the other alternative was IGUs or something like that?
So we kicked around the option of, so we can buy just the insulated glass units themselves without the aluminum frame. We can do that. The problem is I need to hold them up from a weight perspective. So if we look at
this cross section here and trying to hold that weight of all of this glass up here, this isn't sufficient. So now we're looking at a structural engineer to give us our weight tolerances. And just my experience as a builder tells me that I'm going to be putting in a VersaLand beam in there that is probably a minimum of 8 inches, probably, to span that with a post that's tying in or maybe lagging into the existing steel post if the engineer tells us it's okay. But we would increase that mullion size horizontally for sure to do that in a wood product.
I think that's part of the look for me is the thinness of the mullions and the airiness of it.
So you'd prefer to keep it thin?
I'd like to keep it as thin as possible, as close to what's there, and I like the big panes on the ground first floor too.
So I'll give you all just a little bit more information, then I'll shut up and you can do what you're going to do. Is that so a little over a year ago, whenever it was, I reached out to the planning and building department and said, hey, I'm kind of out of my league here. I'm a residential guy primarily, so this is a little bit odd for me. So I fired out an email and said, hey, I don't know what I need to do. What do you need from me to do this job? And at the time, Maria had replied to me, and I got similar information from both you and Brandon that said, this is a little odd. I'm not quite sure. So we went through assuming that we needed a building permit for this was the plan. I submitted building permits, I don't know, a month ago, something like that. And then we kind of found out, okay, well, we need recommendations from the historic district, which was fine. Had no issues with that. And then after I met with Dale, I went, we might have more of an issue here than what I assumed we did. Our plan all along has been to install all of this on January 12th was the plan. That is the week that their stores.
Well, and the reason why, if any of you are merchants or have ever worked retail, right now is where I'm making all of my money for the year. January, it's deserted. Yeah, it's like a field in the middle of nowhere. Yep. So that's the time to do these things. I fear we're not going to make that this year, and we're really looking a year from now.
Quite possibly, yeah. And part of that was that your store's closed for inventory for a period of time. So we're trying to do that work while the inventory was happening. We've got street closure permits. We've got sidewalk closure permits all in place from Public Works. We've done all that work. And we went.
My inventory is very low, so there's not so much to move around. So
this right now, this decision could delay the year.
So I already pulled the plug on it.
We've already pulled the plug.
And said, that's not going to happen. We need to meet with you, understanding now that we need a recommendation from you. We need your approval to move forward on this project, not just a building permit, as I had originally assumed. So maybe that's my ignorance. Apologies if I excluded you. That was not my intent. And we're looking for a partner here to make sure that we're doing the right thing. And if it means that we do it a year from now, it means that we do it a year from now or 13 months from now.
I'm not going anywhere. Kyle's not
going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere.
So you pulled the plan on it, but you could, if it gets approved, you could go forward with January 12, 2023?
Negative. It takes like 6 weeks to get the glass at the minimum. So,
and
yeah.
Kyle canceled the glass order.
I canceled the glass order.
That takes some pressure.
Yeah.
Well, it did. You know, we felt very much that we needed to take this pause, and we want to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we want to, we honor that you already have put so much work into making that restoration in the way you did. And that's why I think if we can have the time and you're not furious about delaying for a year.
Well, January is a month to do it. We'll
okay.
Just put it that way.
Yeah. And that would give us time then to review the kinds of considerations, the issues of the safety, the energy, and all that.
So what I'm here tonight understanding is that this is kind of a pre-app meeting. And I, like I said, met with Dale. We've heard some of the recommendations that you've made through your letter.
Right. I
appreciate that. Also, what I'm looking for is some additional recommendation from council here so that I can get you a proposal that you can approve.
Yeah.
So that we're not in here for 2 hours kicking the ball around and have to come back again for another proposal. So that's what I'd like to see.
I think that's
reasonable.
Very, very fair. So
I've got a question.
Yeah.
Just
go ahead.
The more aesthetics. So it sounds like you're moving from, I'm going to call it the British Racing Green to a bronze.
Hmm.
What's the thought behind that?
Those are the colors that are available from the manufacturer.
Well, you could paint it.
That doesn't preclude us from painting it or powder coating it.
That's... These colors were picked by George Kramer 20 years ago.
Oh, were they?
So I prefer it being green, but so we can paint it.
So I can make it green.
So hypothetically, you could get like a Kramer coating on a little bit of steel or whatever.
We can absolutely make it a different color.
Or you can still paint that. In walking around downtown, there's a number of buildings with aluminum metal frames that have been painted, and they look like they're brass covered with paint. You know, you just don't.
Absolutely.
So it, painting it is not a problem.
The color is not an issue for me.
Yeah.
And are you saying the preference again is to keep it?
I think it looks great. You know, like.
And you don't have a problem with that?
No.
Staying with the color.
No, I prefer that.
Can I just clarify what you have proposed? So
yes, sir.
What I suggested in my letter was that the large panes of glass are important.
Uh-huh.
And so your proposal of having broken into 5-foot widths, and you're saying that you can do the 3 major panels in an aluminum frame.
What I told Derek is that I asked my glass manufacturer that specifically, and I have not got a hard answer, but my suspicion is yes.
Yeah.
Just a curious question. My fabricated glass is gone then, right?
Yes.
So where are you out of Portland? Or
Sacramento. Those big pieces of glass to truck.
If you go into any new commercial area, we'll see a lot bigger pieces of glass than this or this. So they're available.
They are available.
The last time it broke, we got the glass out of Portland, and it took about 6 weeks. We were boarded up. It was during the renovation, so.
I'm slightly out of my depth, but I have a little bit of experience to say that there is a threshold on the size of window where the IGU does get bigger. The thickness of it, the thickness of the glass, all of that gets bigger, which does start to transfer into different weight categories, which changes the frame that we're looking at. So I'm specifically asking the question to my glass company, and again, I believe the answer is yes, that size pane can be made in the 1-inch IGU, not the 1.25 inches, not the 1.5 inches. Because I don't want to change that frame size, because I feel like we're pretty close to what's there and trying to maintain that look.
So I'm curious, can with the insulated glass unit itself, can you get the channel, that separates the two panes of glass in an anodized finish as opposed to the bright aluminum that we see on most of them?
So what we had proposed is this color, is the darker bronze color.
But
anodized the bright aluminum, those are the only two options that come from the manufacturer that we're working with.
Well, I'm not talking about the frame.
I understand.
But the channel separates the two panes of glass.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that.
So just from, I can answer that in terms of a historic point of view. I did find some statements in the standards, the historic standards from the
National Park.
If any glass was put in, they always want dark bar separators as opposed to aluminum.
Okay.
So they would be, in that kind of shape. And I've seen them downtown, and they're pretty popular. Most people are even doing that now because they always look so bright.
Yeah,
so they'd be dark brown or gray instead of bright aluminum.
Okay. I'm just not familiar. I don't.
Yeah. So it's pretty it's pretty common.
So that's one change that could be made. That we're suggesting, sounds like. Mm-hmm. And then are we still, can I just get clarity, are we still talking about 3 big panes then? Yeah. We are.
I think that was Dale's recommendation.
That's been Dale's recommendation.
We're trying to.
And I'm crossing my fingers, I'm pretty sure that is doable. I'm not 100% certain. But.
So then the next question is that when you showed me those details and I'd seen them online, that they did have those radius caps, half round caps. Might they be available with other manufacturers of extruded aluminum? And then if not, I would look into that, being able to put either having those manufactured out of aluminum, or they could even be wood, screwed to the frames, caulked in and painted.
Yep, absolutely.
Look the same.
absolutely. That was my solution to that when I heard that they weren't available. And much like most manufacturing or really industry right now is, you know, COVID, labor shortage, blah. You can talk about all of those things. And people are getting rid of their SKUs that they're not using very much. And that's what happened to this. They're just not making it.
Those are the kind of historic details which are so classic.
Oh, nice cobweb.
Yeah. I'm looking at different things.
And I'll tell you, those after right at sunset, those were hot to the touch. Yeah. Oh, I mean, there's whether it's absorption or heat loss, they were hot.
They weren't hot this afternoon at 4, although the middle.
Well, cast iron column, a couple months ago, it was warmer. So.
Well, no, but even today, that cast iron post
was warm.
Was very warm to the touch.
Yesterday, all the mullions were hot, but today only the cast iron post was hot.
So I think our target here would be knowing that I, at least with the manufacturer that we're working with,
right,
and there may be others, the extruded half-round cap is not available. So my target then would be to the cap that is proposed is simply, it's just square. It's just a, you know, two and a half. Like that. Yep. It's just like that. So my thought would be to try and remove this without breaking it and to actually reinstall that piece.
That'd be great.
If we can.
If
it comes off. If we can get it off and reinstall it, we would do that. If we couldn't, then we would manufacture it out of wood. And I was talking to actually my shop manager. I have a fantastic carpenter that works in my shop, and that's all he does is build cool stuff. And we were thinking about how to make those little joint attachments, and we were looking at, you know, some sort of pipe fitting and cutting the pipe and welding it together and trying to get that piece to look similar. Is it going to be identical? Probably not.
You can just use that?
Again, assuming we don't break it. I mean, if you're looking for work, you're welcome to
come
try.
Yeah, come check it out. I feel like this is one of
I think Dale's notes, too, were regarding the door. Is that correct, too?
Negative. We're not doing anything with the door.
No, the door is not being touched. Nope. Nobody's touching my door.
It's beautiful. Oh,
good.
Yeah, it's late. I got rid of that latch so many times.
And actually, when we did the renovation, they wouldn't allow us to touch the door. They said that was
his door.
Don't touch it.
I'm just worried that it's been there so long that maybe part of it's rusted, and when we go to pry it out, it's going to crumble. I don't know. We haven't tried to take them off yet.
You got all those sorts of things going on. Like the one on the left, say 9 o'clock is putted in, the one on the right is or something.
Well,
so what you're saying, though, is you're going to make the effort to reproduce that look once you have the new glass in. So.
Correct.
And I think that's all we can ask is that you try to do that. Is there any other feedback you need from us? I mean, we're basically only disagreeing with we're not as excited about dividing them up into six panes. Mm-hmm. That if you guys are willing to work with that, I think that maintains the integrity of the
And I think to Dale's point, which I agree with, is that regardless of how well we match this detail and how much effort goes into it, that aluminum channel is a more modern look. It just is. You're going to see it through the glass. You will see that channel there. And it looks more modern. And
it'll also be painted, and you really won't. I don't think it'll look that modern.
Okay. And I guess I'm just trying to be as transparent as I can to say that it is going to look like a newer piece of you know, construction material. And if that's a non-starter, period, then we need to find another avenue. So that's really the feedback that I was looking for. If the aluminum channel, if we can paint it, if we can match the detailing, if we can get down to the three panes instead of the six panes, if that's going to be something that's agreeable, we got ourselves a project.
Is there a consensus that
have to do it? It's dangerous the way it is.
Exactly.
So, wonder somebody wasn't killed falling through that.
So, just a show of hands to say that there's consensus to go this direction, and we appreciate your efforts to try to restore the look and to keep it. historic, because it is.
And I think the only reservation anybody had was regarding the three large panes on the street.
That's what
street
I think, front. Too. I
did have a couple other questions.
Fire away.
The piece of glass that goes into the opening of the recess doors.
Yes.
That looks like it's been replaced and new stops have been put in there. Is that one of them that's been broken over the years?
And
tempered glass put back in there? Because tempered glass is required because it's close within 2 feet of a door. And I don't know if that was part of your charge to do that window too.
That window is getting replaced with simply an IGU because there are stops there that can come out, and the wood structure is already there. So that's getting an IGU. And yeah, this pane right here, these stops on the interior can come out. That pane of glass can go out. We can put a new pane of glass in. And this piece will not have the aluminum channel around it. Okay. We won't be minimizing that.
So what I would suggest,
yes, sir,
you think about taking that piece out since it needs to come out anyway. And we've got all these details that now are all new to the left, and we have something different to the right. I would guess that that was stopped in originally with the same kind of mullions. And you can see that the corner condition is way different.
Uh-huh.
And when you put your new extruded aluminum frame in, because those mullions are 45 degree angles,
uh-huh,
they're going to have to move back, or you're going to have to rebuild that corner.
Uh-huh.
And then you could make a nice symmetrical corner with the material that you're proposing on both sides and just make it all look original again.
And yes, I agree with that. The counterpoint to that would be that there is glass on this side as well that matches this. Oh. Mm-hmm. So trying to keep the entry looking one way and the rest the other way.
And that is new glass. That was put there to get the earthquake girders in there, and it's hiding that. Because they would have been outside the building.
Right.
So that's what that thing is. And that's
so that was part of the original.
But I think what Dale was saying is if you're going to go into all this trouble, you're going to be redeveloping, you know, 98% of all these windows, that the continuity at that side of the entrance matches what's happening on the street. And if you're going to be doing details on the corner, and if you can make all of this work together so it's not pieced together.
Agreed. And all I was getting at is the other side.
You could make that corner really symmetrical and make it look like it was planned, even though it can't have a round corner on the corner now.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Sure.
But because if that wood all comes out, it could be pretty tightened up. And
100%.
Yeah.
And yes.
So those are the kind of details that really matter when you get down to the fine points. And so that's the other part of the planning action, as I expressed in my letter, that those details need to be really flushed out.
Uh-huh.
And so everything is known, and how that trim is going to work, and how the out-of-level sills is going to be treated,
mm-hmm,
whether that's a piece of wood that's cut on an angle,
mm-hmm,
or you put it up, and then maybe you patch the stucco to make it level,
yeah,
instead of having, yeah, angled pieces of wood. Right? So those kind of details are important as far as the plan action goes.
And I absolutely understand that and appreciate that. And like I said, I wasn't prepared for that. Wasn't the intent of being
fair
prepared.
Enough.
Yeah.
What is the time frame then for the next step in the?
I think at this point they could submit a planning action. I think we've talked with Brandon and said he would waive a pre-application. Normally there's a pre-application conference,
right?
But we'll waive that. They can submit for site review. I can follow up with Kyle about what you need to get together for that.
Yeah.
But really,
the next thing would be
typically site review is looking at all of these standards for commercial buildings. This will really focus on exactly what we've been talking about, because the only thing really changing relative to standards is the windows and how they relate to the historic character of the building. So, I mean, it will be much of what you said when you started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well, do you feel like you got the answers you needed?
I feel good. I'm happy.
And I just, as a quick explanation of that process, and everyone else probably can hear it too, you submit an application, we review it, we send notice to neighbors within 200 feet. They have 14 days to comment. We review those comments, have the Historic Commission then formally during that comment period review it and make these comments more formally.
Mm-hmm.
Then we make a decision at the staff level and we send it around to that same group of surrounding property owners, and they have 12 days that they could appeal it if they.
Hey, I think the bar's going to like it. It's going to have patrons. It'll be so much safer.
Yeah. Very good.
So, I mean, it's a probably best case scenario. It's probably about a 48-day process when you go through all of that.
I'm familiar with that.
Okay. So good. Does everybody feel satisfied that we, and I really appreciate both of you being here to work with us in the way you're doing. I appreciate it very much.
I think it's lovely.
It is a lovely Frank Clark building.
It, that's right. It really has an important heritage, too. Thank you, Kyle.
The way it's held up is amazing, guys. It's all held up from the mezzanine things in those center pillars. It is a structural jewel box. It really is.
That's a lovely thing.
Well, thank you again
very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, we... are going to be able to move to the next thing, which is the public art. Now I see I keep putting my papers together and then I lose them again. What did I do with the agenda? But I think what's next is, what is next? Can somebody tell me?
The mural.
That's what I thought, because that's what they're waiting for. So you may remember in April, that John Pugh visited us. He was with Peter Finkel, who is the person who walks around the streets of Ashland, Walk Ashland, and had a drawing. So I want to offer you a chance to come up and sit at the table. And
Lauren's my clergy.
Oh,
she's interested in doing public art, so she
can come
along.
Oh, good for you.
This one right here?
Yeah.
I also, I'm not sure what your procedure is, but it's nice not to be on Zoom, isn't it?
Yes, it
we
really
are.
Is.
We are. Okay, that's right.
But there's nobody out there at the moment.
So. I don't want to put it up, but I also kind of did this little thing where it has a project description, just kind of puts it into a nutshell, too. Yep. That's like a party favor. And, maybe Beverly, you were going to. I'm not sure how you want me to proceed, or do you have the actual...
Well, yeah,
I put in the packet, which is what Public Arts provided me,
right.
And then I was just going to look before the meeting. The Public Arts staff person sent me some more stuff.
Sorry if I didn't make enough of those. So. I think we're good.
Oh, are we? Yeah, I think we do have enough.
Oh, okay, I planned it that way.
Yeah, good. Well, we can... I can introduce it to say that the Public Arts Commission you met with in October, and they, you had a, from the minutes, it sounds like you had a very good conversation about both the content and everything, but they're endorsing the concept.
Correct.
And that's different than, I think this is an opportunity to talk about, if that's okay with you to talk
absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. They're recommending it to the city, though.
That's right.
The word, I think, that they
and
use.
They're recommending the concept and that will be a continuing conversations then about the actual design. Is that fair to say?
Well, I think that throughout the process, even while I'm painting the mural, the design will continue to not change drastically.
Yeah, of course.
Refined. But I think that the pictures here are is different from the first time I showed you because I feel like it's stronger. And I've learned more about historical aspects and just the overall aesthetic of it, I think, has been simplified a lot. That it's a stronger piece, too. And it's, I could talk about what I talked about.
Absolutely.
With them, but,
go ahead.
Is there like more than one picture? Because I kind of went through.
I don't think there was.
So these are all the things I have from.
Okay. So if you go back to this, that's just it. Okay. Because I had a proposal that I think I shared with you that had the second Chautauqua double dome.
Oh yes, that's
thing. And since then, because I made a model in my studio. I don't know if that's in these slides or not, or images or not.
But I decided after playing with this a lot that it got a little complicated aesthetically with the two forms together. And that's a simplified model. I don't know if it has a picture previous to that. That's the kind of play what I showed you. And I felt like that was a little overcomplicated. I hadn't worked out my lighting. You got this additional shell inside because I was trying to represent Chautauqua 1 and Chautauqua 2 or Chautauqua 1, 2, 3. And it's just a little bit much. It's a little complicated as far as a little more iconic and simplified design that had the introduction to it had a cleaner, simpler flavor to it that was easier to absorb. So if you do want to move forward, there's a simplified dome, and that's good. Go back maybe one. That's a much cleaner look. I resolved some certain things about the project, like inside the space no longer as a double shell. It's all this kind of an amalgamation of the Chautauqua domes into one thing that I think is the combination is an aesthetically pleasing, simplified solution. And that I've added more lights there so that the story inside here is more of a theatrical one, which kind of fits in with Ashland. It's nothing spells out Shakespeare, but the idea that this dome is kind of the center stage of the story of Ashland you kind of can go forward and backwards from that. So you go forward, Agnes Bomer looked at this and had the idea for the Elizabethan theater, the Globe Theater. And so that kind of launched into the present day thing with Shakespeare, but I still am not spelling out Shakespeare here. And if you kind of go backwards a little bit, it's right there at the center of the plaza area of the park, which the indigenous, the Shasta Native Americans called where the crow lights. And boy, there's history there going that direction too. And it's not a political thing. It's not a conflictive thing. It's showing both directions. And originally I was going to be more of a Maxfield Parrish. It's still Maxfield Parrish, but the center figure was more like this Irish girl that was leaning against the tree. And I thought, okay, I got to work in the Shasta inhabitants that were here in the first place. And then I said, well, wait a second, this young woman could be the main figure here. The story could, since they were here for centuries, they could be at the center of how the story begins. So, I'm working with some of the elders in the area and working out getting the appropriate model for this. But I think that she could be the center of the story, and things have happened since then. And again, it's not a political thing, but it's a great way to start the story and really appreciate this enchanting vibe that Ashland has and Lithia Park has. And even with the color, the way it's painted inside the stage feels like a Maxfield Parrish. It still is honoring the Chautauqua Dome. And there's a lot of different directions, and treating it like a play production just seems really appropriate. So I'm trying to create a public art. I've been doing this my whole life, and I've worked in more urban areas as well. I'm not trying to necessarily do a cute little thing in the corner. This is dynamic, and it is putting a new level of public art, I think, into the downtown, which I don't think is a bad thing. I think that this placemaking thing that honors the past, that inspires, that and maybe has some history lessons going there, but also creates a pride of place where we came from, is a vibe that is honoring the past in maybe a newer or dynamic way. But it's certainly not lowering the standard here. I think it's an addition to the public art collection here. And I'm very, very excited about it. I'm doing a lot of projects, right? I'm doing one in Washington, D.C. and a few different places, but this is the one I'm the most excited about. And it's where I live.
Yeah. Derek, do you have a wider angle of that so we can see the whole thing?
There should be in there.
Yeah, there we go.
I have a quick question. So I saw your first rendering in April, and to me it was a little confusing. And people that live here in town know what the Chautauqua Dome might be, but even a lot of people that live here may not know.
Yeah.
So, and that's the hard thing. If somebody sees that and they go, what is that, an egg or is it a spaceship or what? And I'm just noticing, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like you're showing a concrete relief edge detail, but the original dome was maybe constructed out of wood and shingles? Or
There's three different phases. First it was wood, and then it moved to more of a solid substance. But you're correct. The way the thickness is, it is for the story of more of a dynamic layering. I chose not to do like thinner wood that might separate the front from the inside. Is that what you're talking about, the thickness itself?
So I'm just curious. I mean, so if it was wood, there was really unique structural framing members and beams and things that aren't being articulated. It was all rocky data.
I understand, and I knew when I was doing the broken concrete that that's not what it was. It was more for dynamicness within the concept to show a little more of the layers without being confusing. I'm just trying to get away from confusing elements, and I think it's a pretty. You know, I use the word egg, and I don't mean to be demeaning or silly about that, but it does have this, you know, we're breaking this thing and going back farther into the picture of the earlier.
Oh, of the
Chautauqua? There it is.
And then the walls, part of them are still there, of course.
Right, and that's what he was almost inspired by. They honored that, and there's the ivy growing on those walls, so it's definitely... something that did hatch this. I shouldn't use the word hatch. but this integration with this beautiful tree of life, Lithia Park, into that too, I think is a really exciting combination of visual elements.
Is that the where the tree comes from? Is from the Lithia Park?
Yeah. It's about being in the early part of the park here, okay. And the Shasta Village that was here, and playing with Maxfield Parish and this. And there's this enchanted, almost mystical flavor that is there,
right?
And in here, and I'm sure that the Shasta people felt that as well. Yeah. That's why I moved here, is this feeling.
Really?
I sold my place up in Lake Tahoe, and I just remember as a kid coming here and feeling this like enchanting flavor here, and it's always been on my
kind of like. And there are a lot of creatives here.
Yeah.
That's a nice thing.
I noticed that.
So, yeah, do you think that because this came
out is different? So the this one has the second dome. So there is a little amalgamation of the two that I think aesthetically is more interesting.
Katie. Sorry, Katie. Could we hear your question so that we could?
Well, I was looking at this picture.
Yes.
And the top. And then I was looking at this picture where it has a different top.
Right.
And the art. And
again, this goes back to, I hope I'm not jumping the gun.
But
this is like an amalgamation of the two. Because that sharp, pointy thing
that's
in there, that doesn't really fit into the space as well.
Right.
So I'm trying to combine a couple of things to make it simplified and aesthetic.
Well, and the reason the last time in April there was a discussion of the cedar being the wood. Mm-hmm. Is that important to people for him to know in terms of the history, or does it matter?
Well, I think to Eric's point, I didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. I've been here for 12 years. And I had no idea what I was looking at.
This is an opportunity for some history, architectural history lessons within the place too. And certainly the plaque, there's a space that you can't quite see it from, but down right next to where the Art and Soul is, there's a place for the plaque and a project description. It could talk to those points about history too.
Because
that was an important stepping stone to what is Shakespeare today.
I love the idea of it. It's very... Nashville's doing this left and right with the cool murals and stuff.
Yeah.
And are you going to paint the elk?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love that. A deer is so Ashland.
I love the deer. It just fit in with the elks, but it's also, it kind of fits in with the reindeers a little bit too, but it is about the four deer and the four stags. And there'll be a squirrel in there. There's some parallels with this.
But it is the elk's building.
And it is. I mean, in Lithia Park used to have the zoo with elk in it until
people shot them.
I was there when I was 12 years old.
They shot them. Really?
Yeah, I mean, I was a little kid and went there. And
well, he killed somebody.
Yeah, well, I mean, there were elk in Lithia Park by the duck pond. And wow. People
well, they
went
had
up with
a
bow
zoo
and shot them,
up
and
there,
they were walking
there.
Around with arrows in them. Oh. So that's when the
they had a zoo that was flooded out, I think, in the 64 flood. Mm. But the first time I came to Ashland was a long while ago, and they had a zoo. And in this zoo, they had deer and raccoons. I can remember that. I was a child at the time. But, I mean,
so
that's something
animals.
We don't have to look for today. No. But, I mean,
it's totally their fault.
This zoo flooded out in the 1964 flood, and they never put it back.
And the deer and the raccoons were released.
So it sounds like what I've heard you say a couple times, John, is that you're hoping that this image stimulates people to inquire about the history of Ashland.
And I think via the effect of the illusion, too, I do this trompe-l'oeil technique where on Main Street, this will feel like it's actually there. Mm-hmm. And my experience is that everyone likes being tricked or fooled visually, like it's a magician thing, and they're stimulated. There's an experience. It's not like the anamorphic thing on the ground where you get a good picture with your phone, but you actually think the first time you see it that something's physically there. And when that bond happens, it really invites people into the concept and to learn about what the concept, in this case, historical directions. I think it's an invitation into learning more about the history of Ashland.
And what we can't see in the drawing, of course, is that three-dimensional effect, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll continue.
And I think maybe that is...
Yeah, that yours, the way this is projecting, the colors feel a little off. But yeah, it will feel
like
physically. That's like what I'm good at.
I know.
What it feels like it's real.
Right.
And I don't know, if you go off to some other, like I think I show one other mural here, but I've seen at the Hawaii project, which has a similar kind of.
Oh, do we have that?
Let me see if I can get those back up.
To it.
He's pretty darn good at this.
I think I actually had a couple images in there too that I think were. Okay, so if you just go forward a little bit. There's the one, and there's the model, which is still not completely illustrates the realism. But so this is one I did in Hawaii, and that's this feels really real when you see this, and it's created quite a stir, and it gets a lot of attention. But it's that's the feeling, and I think there's a picture right after this of a building in Dubai. Yeah, I took this when I was in a project in Dubai. It is the actual building, but the idea of this large architectural almost anomaly or spectacle is so exciting as far as a placemaking attraction, but it's not bemoaning or belittling Ashland. It's celebrating the cultural artistic climate here, the theatrical climate. So I mean that feeling of that kind of really interesting architectural thing happening via illusion, I think is. I've had a lot of success with that.
Yeah.
I think it's stunning. Yeah, first time we saw it, it was just blown away.
Oh, good.
And, I think
there was
a
lot of good feedback in April. You didn't see this because you guys weren't on the commission at that point, I don't think.
I realize it's not completely safe, too, as far as, I mean, it is stepping up a little bit, and it's not blending or harmonizing and not change it's changing things a little bit, but that's part of what I do, and I don't think that's such a bad thing. It's breaking a kind of a cookie cutter architectural thing that happens with a lot of towns. It's not happening here, but this to me is creating a humanistic aesthetic artistic attraction that to me feels like what Ashland's about.
I wonder proportionally how would the Native American woman.
So, well, she'll be life size. I don't know if that's perfect right there, but she would be life size. And I'm still, like I said, working with them to find a good model for this that they would.
So have you changed the title to where the
Well, I mean, that now, you know, because I did want to include the, before I knew more about it, the Native American element
right.
here. And how was I going to do that? And for my, like I said previously today, is that to put it front and center. And this is the place where the Quillites, that's what they call it. It's the place where they built the Ashland Mills. It's the place where they built the Chautauqua Domes. And it's the place where they created the
And that's
Elizabethan
the reason
theater.
The crows are on there, right?
What's that?
The reason the crows are
Oh, right,
there.
Yeah. They're
That doesn't necessarily go with Ashland, I don't guess. But it does with the natives.
With the Native Americans,
yeah.
Yeah.
Why did I never
crows.
Know the origin
they're
of that?
Crows.
Yeah,
crows
take care of the roadkill. What?
They take care of the roadkill.
Oh. Okay.
And what was the question? I'm sorry.
I didn't have another question. Anybody else have questions though?
No.
I think
I don't have a question, but just more of a
comment. Sure.
So it's very dome centric, you know, and from the historical side. If we could do more to tell more about the history of the dome or the construction of the dome or like the texture of the dome, like I see in the back, you've got the little panels. And when I come over here and I look at this, you know, there's
the photo,
you know, and I look at all the textures and I look at the people seeing the presentation and whatever that part of the, you know, I don't even know what you would call it.
Oh, this part here.
Yeah. Oh yeah, like the
that holds this up.
Yeah. What is that called? The oculus, I guess.
So this is just being nitpicky, I guess. But whatever we can do to make it most historically accurate, and you know, and not mess with your design, because I'm totally in support of it. I think it's great. I'd love to see it on the wall. But it's a hard story. Like Katie's lived here a long time. She hasn't been a historic house. She doesn't know what it is. I mean, we're almost gonna. I feel like we almost need something on the street level to say like.
No, that big plaque, I think, is part of the plan to tell about the history.
So make it look more like wood and less like a concrete cinder block.
I could probably get wood texture in there. I'm trying to figure out what is going to be the most effective and harmonize with the rest of the mural.
And I know somewhere we have a photo of the dome under construction.
Yeah, there's a great shot when they're printing in the last. And I tried that. They're up there in a row, and they're putting this white material on it. It looks great. I even put it in here. It looks really good. But the problem that I had with it is it started clashing with the concept, with the woman below and the Lithia Park thing. And all of a sudden, you had two strong
themes
that kind of clash. So I pulled back on that.
So you had a question.
So I think you have you need to have those large geometric shapes to create the illusion.
Yeah.
And so you need the shapes, but then it draws the attention to what's inside the egg.
It totally does, I think. Yeah. And I try to pick it up. There's a dome on top of my ass, and you got the moon, and then there's those skylights that are actually inside the Elks Lodge and one of their meeting halls. But the circular one I thought was, again, we're echoing that round shape. So there that is definitely part of the design to continue that kind of design element into it.
I think Gail had a question, then you have a question.
I have a question for you, John, about conceptually. I'm kind of looking at this and I'm seeing like kind of our origin at the center of the piece and then kind of the history coming outwards. And then I look at the mountains in the back and they're kind of gridded, and I'm wondering if maybe what you're thinking, like what happens outside the dome?
And that's a really good question. I was trying to almost create this Art Nouveau, Art Deco, subtle theatrical thing you might see inside of a theater on the sides. They're probably a little too colorful. They could be maybe more muted as kind of a design element. And I did try Pilot Rock there to the left, which I thought was, and I'm still open to that. I thought Mount McLaughlin is a little more dynamic, but maybe Pilot Rock is a little more Ashland and not as much Medford or something.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to go back
kind
to
of thinking
that.
It, maybe that's like whatever our idealistic future might be. Outside the dome, right? If you start history in the middle and you work your way outward.
So in that little thing, I'm kind of creating
there?
My own little play production here. And ideas, we're struggling through. And you know, the Native American, the Rogue Valley Wars, all this stuff happened. There's this you know, the struggle to find harmony. So that's, you know, harmony is, and maybe a future where a lot of the concerns with Native Americans. I'm not trying to get political here, but everybody just, there's a harmonious, it's beautiful. It's lovely. It's not a political thing. It's like music that has sweet overtones, and it's not meant to be like, you know, someone's suffering and someone's fighting against something, but more about the idea and a positive outlook of the story of Ashland, how it's unfolding in this theater production. And I think we're led to believe that there's a positive outcome in this love story. So,
yeah, I'm excited. Yeah. Thank you for sharing it. I'm really looking forward to seeing how it unfolds.
Me too. And there's room for a little subtle things more, but it would only be in the lighter hood.
And Dale, you had a question?
So, I mean, I particularly like this angle because it shows in scale what it looks like to the building. You probably remember the last time you came here, you got full support, except for Debbie Downer Vale.
I didn't mean to laugh. But thank you for being put
So, my impression now, since we're looking at the latest edition, is that it feels. I mean, I look at the dome and the point that you raised about, well, what is that dome or what is that dome? I knew it was Chautauqua right away because I've been here a long time and looked at those pictures and seen a lot of others. So I knew where you were coming from. I don't really understand the skylight above. And on the interior, which now I would say is about 25% of the whole thing, which is inside the egg. And it's the lowest part on the whole compilation. And if you're any closer than you are from this view, which is probably across the street, it's going to go away pretty quick.
And well, it is about the, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's fine, you can comment.
Well, I was going to say, it's always about with the illusion thing, it's always about the first impact. And if you're walking or driving down Main Street in the flow of traffic direction, this is where you would first really see it, and then the illusion has to work where you first see it. Yeah. Otherwise, it will never.
Yeah. Well, I'm assuming the illusion works because you're good at that.
Yeah.
The question is,
Derek, you're
scale
so good at that.
And content, I guess. So I'd be worried that it will jump out at you because that's what you do when you see finally get close enough to go. Is it an egg, or for tourists, it might be a broken egg with windows in it. And so then you go inside, and I start looking inside. If that's Pilot Rock to the left, and I don't know what's to the right corner of it, upper right. Yeah. You know, they're not.
That's Pilot Rock, and then the other one's McLaughlin.
No, that's Mount Ashland. Here's the little.
Which one's Mount Ashland?
Right here.
The left one's Pilot Rock.
So you got the dome.
Yeah,
thing.
Pilot Rock and.
Which isn't a very good depiction.
No, Pilot Rock isn't even in here. It's Mount McLaughlin. But
he's gonna make it.
Switch it out for Pilot Rock.
Yeah. That's what he said.
And it's kind of, the valley is kind of like that too. Like, here's Mount Ashland, here's Pilot Rock.
So I think what I'm hearing is that they'd like to have it be slightly a little bit more representative of wood and maybe this steeple.
Well, I think what
is
I
that
heard
what,
also,
is Dale
saying what I, what caught my attention from the difference from April was I felt like there was more, there was less of the dome and more opportunity to look inside.
Like, oh, now there's more
like
dome.
This area being
there, that because
well, the other one had a double dome.
The double dome.
Oh.
That's right, and you're right. I mean, you just explained that.
Yeah.
But sometimes I wonder if we could. Open
see,
up
more,
the egg a little bit.
See, I'm glad you're asking this question because these are things I go through in my process, in my designing process. If we showed more, it would start fluctuating with the space.
Oh.
The illusion would be strong. There's a certain amount of kind of like a quest or an invitation for discovery if you're not seeing everything. I want to see what's in there. I want to explore in there.
Just in contrast.
Yeah, look at that.
That was your April.
Yeah, that's too much.
Is it too much?
I think so. I think spatially. I think it bubbles out and it gets confused.
I agree. But what it also does is it does show the context and that window and the surrounding wall is showing support. So that's a little bit more realistic on the right-hand side above the elk, right there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so, right.
And,
yeah.
and I'm not married to that. I'm just, if we go back to the last one, because that's where you're at. So that's not, that's gone, and it doesn't really show.
You know, I am very supportive of the idea of reintroducing that wall there. Okay.
So then, so then what I'm looking at is
really
25% of this is really the focus inside the dome. Can we go back there again? There we go. Thank you.
Yeah. And that's kind of where the play takes place.
And so reintroducing that little wall.
Yeah, I'm open to that. I think
and then what do you guys think about the steeple thing at the top?
If that was more historically correct, what's the skylight doing above it?
That's from the Oaks, but that's actually inside the building.
Architecture inside their main meeting hall. They had the same type of glass type in there.
Well, it must be a lot smaller.
It's smaller, but here we're trying
to go with the dome.
Maybe a little subliminal message of prayer.
You know, when somebody looks at this, and after I read this, I go, well, okay, you know, but and a plaque would be nice.
Yeah.
But the reality is 95% of the people are never going to read that, and they're going to look at this and wonder what it is. And so when I look inside that dome now, we get back to that. There you go. So for me, the detail in there is kind of hard to read. That Native American woman is just like part of the tree. Now I'm looking at the content. And again, this is just the way I analyze things as an architect and whatever. But I look at each of those things and I'm thinking, okay, there's a moon in there. There's a tree. What kind of tree is that?
It doesn't
relate to any trees in Southern Oregon.
Except it's in Lithia Park.
Well, it would be.
That's my point of view. That it's that tree dominates, which is fine, and the rest of the content is Maxwell Parrish colored rocks. How does that relate to Ashland? So I don't see, other than the dome and the Native American woman, who is, you know, such a small feature, that this would kind of connote the feelings that you've talked about here to people who don't read about it.
Okay, so in response to that,
yes,
this is a concept sketch, and I do want to use accurate things from the Southern Oregon fauna and flora, you know, mm-hmm. the trees and the rocks, and I've been in Lithia Park where it felt like a Maxwell Parrish. This isn't perfectly accurate. I pulled some stuff from the internet up to kind of get this flavor, including Maxwell Parrish paintings. Mm-hmm. This isn't the finished mural.
And that's what I mean. So I think that goes back to the point that Dale was just saying, this is the concept, right? The description.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're being asked to endorse tonight. I'm not an architect or any tradesperson or anything. I'm an art appreciator, but Derek, could we go to the previous one?
Double dome?
Only because there's more, that looks more historic, just to have
it does.
The wall.
But it's not just the wall, it's the roof, the detail in the roof.
Oh.
It looks closer to shingles and less like concrete.
That was kind of based on the second Chautauqua Dome. The other one, and I could bring lines back in, like the wood.
I think the lines add a lot.
Because we are going with the one that we're doing, the latest rendition.
Yes.
I could show lines of the wood. It's different than this dome.
Oh,
because this is the second dome. This is all I'm saying is that
there's just, if you look to the right side and saw the combination of the lines that seem to show some kind of shingles and the window, it looks more historic than the concrete, concrete.
I agree with that. Yeah, I think there should be some lines in here, like the wood, like that one.
Like that.
Maybe
and
not exactly that color,
cedar.
But at least identifying the wood.
Yeah,
right.
And it has more of a historical buzz.
Right. Like a cinder block look.
Right, yeah.
Because
like
we're trying to tell a story, and we want that story to be historically accurate, and that there's the fantasy portion of it.
Mm.
And I understand what you need for the size and the scope and the scale and the drama to make it have that initial impact. But if we can add historically correct representations as much as possible, but we've seen in photos or structure, that's great. And to Dale's point too, I mean, he's looking at the tree in the middle, and if you go and look at the park, you see, you know, sequoias and maples and fir trees and not a lot of oaks.
There was a big red oak that fell on the park last year that's like near
which isn't native.
No, it isn't? But it was in the park.
It was. Just like raccoons and deer.
You are still in the park, and the part of the park is actually the creek and the bridge and the dogwoods and the sequoias and the maples and all of that, right? So
there's a certain thing about the tree to me that kind of evokes the spiritual tree of life thing, too. So I'm playing with that a little bit.
You mentioned that. Well, so how do you see... I mean, I think it's very challenging to work in public art. So what is the process going forward as far as your design? You work primarily with public arts at that. We've given you our interests in the historic perspective and design elements, which maybe we shouldn't have. But at this point, do you, I'm assuming there's enough interest around the table to endorse the concept, then how does the process go forward as you said?
And normally I don't champion my own project. Usually I'm doing an international or a national public art competition or I have a private.
Oh, play. I see.
So this is a little different for me.
Oh, okay.
I have talked to towns and communities before, but not trying to promote my own work as
much. Oh, yeah, right.
I believe it goes from here. The Public Art Commission has already recommended it.
Right.
And it goes to the city, and the city will endorse it.
Right.
And we're raising our own funds.
Yeah, so that was the other thing.
Yeah.
So what we would be endorsing, and I want to clarify that the project you saw the budget is $200,000, and the Public Art is commission is assuming that it will raise the funds from private donors. It's going to be in the gift category under public art installations. Okay, so I appreciate the give and take you've had with us,
it's good though. The materials on the dome, I think, is a valuable thing to bring back.
Think,
at least.
But I think does anybody else have any other questions, or can we move to a vote to and you have a question?
I have a question.
Of course.
Sorry.
No, you don't have to apologize.
Because I wasn't here in April when you discussed this. So I'm wondering if anyone on the commission has a concern about putting a mural on this historic building. And the impact it's going to have on the streetscape, because I think it will be really like, whoa, there's a mural there, and you know, I'm going to really love it, but I think there's probably other people in the community who won't, because it's going to draw so much attention to itself away from Main Street and the rest of the
scales.
Have you guys already just
that was my dig. That was I was going to end with, that's what I did end with last time is.
Okay.
You said it perfectly, and I just think that we have a downtown historic district, and that Chase Bank is not a great building. It's an example of something that was built in the 60s, and that's a blank wall, and you get to look at.
Trying to get the eyes off of the Chase Bank.
But Ashland, as I said in my little notes about Ashland's history and how important Ashland history is to tourists and that sort of thing. I think that it is a big blank wall, but it's also the biggest surface that you could possibly create to have something incredibly modern. And I just think it takes away from a historic downtown. And it's too big, it's too dominant, and it's not historic. And then it's going to turn into controversy because half the people are going to love it and half the people are going, what are you, you know, whatever. I don't know if that's true or not. That's how controversial art is these days. And to have it in such a prominent place, I think, does not make sense.
Does anybody else comment? Can anybody else react to that? Concern now?
because it crossed my mind.
Yes.
So I thought, yeah, I'd bring it up and see if anyone else has
it's 50-50, but I like the idea that you guys had about being new and seeing the double dome concept does take my mind back to kind of, it did look more Shakespearean. This newer version doesn't look more Shakespearean. As far as having it be right in town, it did cross my mind too. But on the other hand, it's 2023 and it does tell a cool story of Ashland.
It does embrace the past and history.
It's hard. It's difficult. It's how do you move forward but also stay?
Don't you think it embraces the past?
Well, it's obviously a very artistic interpretation of the past. But as I pointed out, I don't see anything there that relates to Ashland necessarily. I mean, we got deer everywhere, as they do everywhere else in around the country. But historic value and historic relationship, I don't see that. I read it and hear it kind of, but I go.
But in the double dome picture, was there anything that was?
Well, I just think the double dome is too. They're both, in my mind, too dominant. But again, I'm talking really about the big picture, and it's just too dominant for a modern kind of thing that's going to dominate the downtown historic district, which is pretty damn important to have.
Yeah. So you don't want anything.
Right.
Did you figure that out?
No, so I mean,
Dale need cocktails.
It's 8:30. I think it's perfectly appropriate to have differences of opinion.
Yeah,
it is.
Bottom line, and this is a big
public art is always
and public art is especially going to be. Subject to differences, and we know, like the bike sculpture and
it's
all
like,
that.
It's like a pyramid at the Louvre, right in the middle.
Yeah, that's true.
I was thinking that if the building had old painting on it that said the lodge or what the building is, but it is not. It's just a big painted white existing.
I understand the Maxfield Parish and the fantasy, but I'm personally missing like historical elements. Like this town was built around the railroad.
Yeah.
Ashland was the biggest output producer.
And those are different stories, but I do want to honor the building material.
Yeah, and so that maybe is something.
And that's just me. Like
no, but maybe what
we. I totally agree. That's what comes to me. What made Ashland Ashland? We all, if you've read the railroad history, that's what made Ashland, that's what changed Ashland. And that actually was a precursor to Shockburg.
Siskiyou Boulevard runs the way that it does. It's in parallel to the tracks.
And Native Americans are important.
So, how about the historical elements that people are saying they'd like to see more of? Because I see this. You're trying to do history, but also this idea of enchantment and Tree of Life.
Right.
That's hard to do all those things. But maybe what we could do is offer suggestions of what we think are high points of the history. I think the indigenous people is going to be very important to this town. It has been. But and I think if there's just going to be people who aren't ready to put that on the big space in downtown, but I don't know that you have another space.
And, we're mixing two things. I mean, we're talking about the historic nature of the building and also the history, but
there's a danger of being too encyclopedic.
Yeah, okay.
And getting a good copying like a mariachi band here. And I'm trying to create a little suite a few of the items. So I realize it's not covering everything, and maybe those can be addressed with other projects.
Yeah, I think. Yeah,
I'm in favor of it. I guess
you would like.
I'm looking for the next iteration of this.
Yeah, a little bit more history.
Just because I didn't understand it actually when I first saw it, I looked at the domes and they looked far. It was just hard for me to get my head around it.
So could we summarize what particular contents have been mentioned here for the history? It's the railroad. It's the We've got the native.
Well, if we're showing something that's architectural, which is the dome, let's try to make it as architecturally accurate as possible. Okay,
good. That's materials. Number one. And that one, I think, is better, don't you think, that image?
Yeah.
Okay. And
but now we're interweaving his story.
Right.
And I think we're really here just to talk about architecture.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah. I think art's designed by a committee.
Is bad.
Well, you let him have his artistic expression as well with how he wants to replicate it.
Yeah.
But
the materials, I see him responding to the materials, and I think some of those perspective lines of the tiles, or in this case, it would be the boards going like that.
Okay.
I have no problem with bringing those kind of materials out into the thing and looking a little less solid dome-ish.
Yeah. I think that'd be great.
Yeah.
I think people are responding to that. But I take the point that as an artist, this is your domain. I think we need to have a vote of whether to endorse this so that we can take it forward to the council. And if it's not a unanimous vote, it's not the end of the world.
So our vote tonight is the location of it.
It's to endorse the concept and the location.
Okay.
So
make the motion.
You want to make a motion?
Yeah, let's vote on it.
Okay.
I make a motion, we vote.
Okay.
On the location.
How about this? If you, could you, what we're,
I'm so hungry.
What, could you, what we're looking for?
I'm just so hungry.
I don't think there is. You're hungry? I can understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're tired and hungry.
I make a motion that we vote on the location.
And the concept. We
well,
need
first
the concept.
Let's, most, let's do the location.
Oh, do you want to do it separate?
Yes.
Okay. We'll vote for the location. Is there a second before we discuss this?
I support public art in this location. Or I make a motion to support
public
art in this location.
Okay.
In this size and scale and material on that building.
Okay. And is there a second?
I'll second.
You'll second that. Okay.
Or third.
Wait, I thought Katie made a motion.
I did.
And then
he was trying to
he was a bit
one motion rather than two.
Okay.
So it's endorsing the location of this public art installation, and we have a second. Who are we giving these?
Eric seconded.
Okay.
Second. Giving kids
a
hug and trying to
just throw me a pretzel. Okay, and then if there's no further discussion, this is about the location. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And two say no, right? That's okay. Oh, you say yes.
Yeah, I do.
Okay,
I'm the only one.
But
it's
that's
hard.
Principle.
It's hard. I get it. I get it too.
And
okay, I make a motion now on the second part.
Yes.
Which is the giving the artist artistic design with our input tonight.
Right. And endorsing the concept.
And endorsing the concept.
And I have heard your input.
Yes, you have. I appreciate that.
And I will respond to it too.
Well, yeah, I appreciate your willingness to engage. So is there a second for that?
I'll second.
Okay. Can we have a vote? I don't think we need more discussion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay. No.
Opposed.
Okay.
Shelby, did you oppose the first motion? Or
no,
I just want to make sure. Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
You could note that her hand up went kind of slowly.
Shelby's 50-50.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for
the
time. I'm sorry you had to wait quite a while.
Well, that's okay.
And I think people are still, I mean, the minutes from the last meeting were like people were excited. I think it is an exciting project, even though I understand Dale's concern.
I will try to represent somebody who's not here, only in the fact that Terry Skibbe's lived here all his life, did send us an email that said that I have some real concerns about help. Yeah, he's the. Do you guys know Terry?
He's a historian.
He's a draws life. He's
taken photographs.
And he's collected all the historic photographs that everybody refers to when they want to look at the old buildings. And so he's very adamant about history.
Changing.
History.
Did that building ever have painting on it that
no.
said Elks Lodge or anything? It's just always.
If you got Carrie would probably have an old picture, and it probably was, you know, Frank's garage at one point. Or something.
Well, wasn't there a theater where Chase is now that burned down, I think?
It was a J.C. Penney store.
I mean, my question is, at some point, did somebody paint
a store where Chase is now?
It's just concrete. It
had Santa and the reindeer.
Yeah. So,
I mean, another concept.
And it did burn down.
We could still put Santa and the reindeer in the globe part.
Okay, before we lose control from the group.
If it's lost.
Dale, you wanted to conclude by saying, were you going to say something?
I know I'm barking up the wrong tree, but you know, I mean, we talked a little bit about more about his history,
right?
Maybe an accurate, maybe a railroad or something like that. Another whole concept, which is not what we're voting on, is right. You know, a real historic connection. I mean, it could even be what was the view? If you've seen some of the downtown pictures of Ashland in the 20s, just mind blowing how many signs there are, how many.
Yeah. Antennas on every building.
What are
antennas
they?
And flagpoles.
It's just phenomenal detail. You think that can't be excellent. Then they came up with sign regulations. Yeah. But anyways, my point is that you could even have something like that in a sepia tone, something that would really depict, wow, this is showing what Ashland used to look like. Some of the great buildings that have been torn down. Just another concept.
Like over in the left side or something. Oh, I don't know.
But I think that what we're doing is throwing out ideas, yeah. and you've been very gracious about hearing the different perspectives. I appreciate that. And
I got one little.
Yeah, we haven't had a vote yet.
No. So
we haven't.
1985. I saw your first piece of work.
We did.
Chico.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's kind of
the
start of my career.
Yeah, in 1985, and then probably did it.
It was actually 81.
Okay.
So that was the entrance to
it. It was fun for me to have still fun and I'm impressed by what you do. So.
Yeah, I
thank
think everybody
yeah, thank you.
Is impressed by your work.
Thank
so
you.
We need to have a vote on the. Did we take a vote?
We did.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I have definitely
need
to drink.
How do we vote to Richard?
I think we're going to just put off that statement about. I think you would approve it. It's just a plaque that says these guys were important people. Can I read it and you vote on it?
Yes.
Can we? Oh, thank you so much.
You're good.
That'll just make their life easier.
Plaque.
Unless
you want to.
No,
that's okay.
Who is that?
Oh, yes. The Public
enjoyed this.
Arts Commission.
I did.
Seriously.
They want that plaque.
You know, inside the studio.
I think we better wait. We better wait.
I'm starved.
Okay, who would we? I guess I can adjourn. I found out last night. I had to say we're adjourned.
Oh, yay.
Thank you.
Yay, thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for their patience. And especially you.
But everyone
thank
else is
you.
Bailing.
It's been really amazing.
No, seriously, look at all of my
face.
Just
a little banana. I have a banana in my coat.
In your coat?
I'll grab it once.
Yes.
That
was great. Thank you, Jared.
You're
getting a banana. That's weird
that
you thought he had the banana. I've only ever, I did have to, I'm just hungry enough that I have to review it in my head again.
I had to push my own thing. Yeah. This is definitely.
And there's a lot of.
Because
they have slime lay on our staff, and you know, and so they all had people and that's why I would be on because I think
it's gonna be dynamic. It's gonna be dynamic.
Well,
only if you can do it
because of your precisely the way you get it affected.
Thank you. Well, you spent a lot of time.
Oh, she got a banana.
If a woman sees you somewhere, you better feed her.
Bye. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thanks.
Bye.
Somehow.
Why were they waiting?
Because you thought that we were going to finish.
I'm waiting for 8:40.
We don't care where we are in the agenda. We're done.
Yeah, I know. I was waiting for us because the retreat.
I've
actually always thought of not climbing up there myself.
Honestly, the retreat. We hardly had a chance to talk about it. So I'm going to send an email out. How about that? And yes, I did. I was had sensed the pressure was to move on. But thank you for trying to keep up with everything.
I was like, what is going on? Wait, did we just adjourn?
Everybody was like, it's 8:30. Yeah. Everybody got hungry. Okay, can I help pick up some things here? All you need to do is this.
Oh, you can just stack them for me. That's fine.
Okay.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I don't know if I need help, but I think
it's a distinction
between what were you saying, Bill?
Oh, just it's like he needs all the part of the geometric shape. And the vanishing,
yeah,
to create the illusion.
Yeah,
it's like seeing a movie for the first time, and you're kind of shocked and awed.
Yeah, it is shock and awe.
But then, when you go back and you look at it a second and a third time, you see all the lights.
Yeah, maybe. So that's what's so hard to evaluate, because you don't get the effect the way the one he was showing from Hawaii, where the waves are.
Yeah.
You know, there's not that movement to look at, but that what you're saying is this will give dimension,
right.
And I think sometimes we do have to, I don't know, sacrifice our principles. You I think did very well in pointing out your reservation about having that space, but I think it's worth a try.
Oh, I do too.
It's like, and this guy, my gosh, his art is amazing. Yeah. Just amazing.
But the historical element of
yes.
the face of the building is simply the form pillars that were used to form up that concrete.
Yeah, wall. It's a concrete, which, yeah.
And Terry would say, well, that's really important.
Oh, I see. Terry Wood. You haven't met Terry.
Yeah, but for me, it's not an important element.
It's not aesthetically, certainly not.
Only when the sun is just right.
Yeah, can you see it?
Yeah. Well, the thing about this illusion is that it can only be seen from that coming up down from the plaza, which,
yeah, that's
which
true.
Allows him to use like a single perspective. That really creates the illusion. You can only see it.
Can I have one of those?
Yeah, that's an interesting point, too.
Can I have that handout?
Yes.
I need it for a minute.
Sure.
Yeah, so I mean,
of course.
Thank you.
And where do these go? You have to take them back?
Yeah, I'll there.
Okay, where should I put them?
I have a box over here.
Oh, okay.
Can I take mine?
It
was nice to have you in person. Yeah, it's nice being in person.
And she rode her bike.
I'm not nervous about riding in the dark again.
Well, I've got my headlight.
You're pretty close. Yeah, it's not that far.
Oh, good.
It is uphill, though. Oh, it goes uphill?
I've been riding my bike for 6 days, but it's getting a little cold.
Well, congratulations. Gloves are key.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I know. I just found out like about like a couple hours ago. I logged on to be the BCD website, and they were like, it might be out. Yeah. I'm a physician, so I do work with the building department a bit, but I think once I get to my next test, which will be for plant examining, that's probably what I'm going to do.
I think that you have, you kind of need a medical
exactly, and it kind of goes hand in hand with my job right now. So, and in a couple months, hopefully, I'll have my second or third. And he can't. Well, I mean, I'll be here. I'll still be
here, but sure.
We don't have
cancer in January.
Somebody that knows all the things, so I'm
offering you guys. But I know.
I'm going to send him a picture of myself. Yeah, well, we have our book complaint. I'm going to be starting here. He hired a new plane officer, so he'll be starting,
you know,
he's on the night of my so, and then hopefully have a new permit time.
Really,
second permit time will be starting January. So there's hope.
Fighting.
Where is that?
We have two people starting in the next 2 months.
Was it that long ago?
Two new people.
Oh, so he's dealing with it. That's right.
Oh,
yeah. Well, I wish they were there on the East Coast.
They're in Texas.
I
have like dogs and cats.
I totally get that. I want them a lot. It's so nice to meet you. I really appreciate your being willing to spend time with.